Guess who's back? That's right, man. We're back. Welcome to Let's Talk on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Mr. Talk. And you know what? We are back, man. And we better than ever. That's right. We better than ever. So welcome to everybody out there. What's happening with you? Hope everybody had a great, great weekend. And hope you stayed warm for those that got caught up in this old crazy storm. I hope you stayed warm this weekend. I know I did, but anyway, that's something totally different from what we're going to talk about. So how y'all been out there, man? I'm telling you, it's been almost a full week since we last did talk, and man, I'm sure there's a lot on your mind. Today is Soapbox Monday, so if you got something that's bothering you, something on your mind, just give us a call, 347-838-8622. Email me, ericletstalk@gmail.com, or join us in the chat room, www.blogtalkradio.com/Mr. Talk, and we can have some great conversations there as well. So those are all the ways you can participate in the show, and we can have some fun. Of course, I got my great co-host, Sister Ngoni. She's already in the chat room waiting to greet you. So, hey, we ready to roll today, man. I'm telling you without a doubt, we are ready to kick it up and get real with it. Get very real ready. You know what I mean? But let me see. Now, I do need to bring someone in here right about now. And, of course, she's my co-host. She keeps me going. She drops knowledge on me when I need to have some dropped on me. And I'm telling y'all, she makes the show just, it's not just a whole lot better. So without further ado, let me bring my co-host in, Sister Ngoni. Hello, my beautiful co-host.
Greetings,
what's going
Talk.
On?
So good to hear your voice.
Why, thank you. Thank you. It's good to be back on the air, man. I tell you. It's very
good.
Yeah,
I'm excited about being back, too. And thank you for your kind words. I enjoy doing the show with you, that's for sure.
Oh, well, thank you. Thank you very much. Well, I'm sure we all enjoy having you there also. You know, because you like balance me out with from my craziness. You know, we can switch to your craziness for a moment, and then we all got things going on.
Absolutely. My passion runs away with me sometimes, you know?
Hey, you know what's life without passion? What's
Absolutely.
Life without passion? You know what
Why
you
get up and feel passionate?
I know. I was going to say, you know what life is without passion? It's called death.
So, it's what?
Called death.
Again?
Death. D-E-A-T-H.
Well, you know, you're talking 6 feet under, you're talking about walking around dead, not feeling anything.
Hey, for some folks, it's
that
the
way
same
too,
thing.
You know.
I know.
Yeah.
I say for some folks, it's the same thing, so depends on how you look. Take a look at it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah.
Yeah,
hey,
I do.
Okay. All right. Hey, Knowledge, what's going on? Thank you, bro. I'm glad to be back also. Yeah, so, man, I tell you, it's just like the first day of school all over again, you know? So did you get in that cold weather down there in that old Tampa area?
Oh, absolutely not. We've had gorgeous weather all week. It's been perfect. Sunny. Not too chilly, even at night.
okay.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Very good.
Very good, huh? You know, that's great. That's great. You know, I'm
and Finette was
Michael?
Telling me that she got one foot of snow in Delaware.
Really? Wow.
Mm-hmm.
We ain't getting no snow, but we sure got a whole bunch of cold air. That's for dang on sure.
Yeah.
And I guess a little
well,
bit
I just,
of...
I'm sorry, Mr. Talk.
No,
I said,
ahead.
I
what
just take
think?
It as because I realize I'm not in charge of that department.
Right, right. Well, okay, that's a good point. That's a good point. But then again, you maybe you just don't know it.
No, I don't think so. Matter of fact, I'm trying to be... to not be in charge of a whole lot of things anymore. You know?
Okay. Oh, Lord, have mercy. All right, well, you know what? We're not even going to go any further with that.
All right.
Oh, have mercy. Yeah,
you straighten up and fly
mercy.
Right, huh?
That's right. Straighten up and fly right for the moment anyway.
Right.
For the moment.
Okay.
All right. I see we got the family slowly coming in. Hey, family, what's going on with y'all out there? Glad to see y'all making it back. Look like y'all miss me as much as I miss y'all, so that's always a good thing, of course. But, of course, we got the song of the day coming up, and I'm telling you, it's a good song of the day. And y'all, if y'all paying attention, I say song of the day because it's not a mix today. It's just one simple song with an old school artist. And it's something to just make you bob your head a little bit. So we're going to bring that on also. Then, of course, we got the quote of the day. And then once we get the quote of the day out the way, we're going to talk a little bit about the Nelson Mandela guy. You know, that guy right there. I know some of y'all don't know nothing about Nelson Mandela, but we're going to talk a little bit about that. And then we're going to open it up and let everybody get their little ranting and raving about what's on your mind or what's bothering you. You know, go back to the old normal days of Let's Talk. So that's what's up on hand right now for the show. And now, without further ado, we're going to go ahead and knock the song of the day out the way. And so y'all go ahead and get your tea, your coffee, your cocktails, you know, your nip, whatever you calling it these days, and get comfortable and get ready for a great show. So without further ado, here it is, y'all, your song of the day.
Got it from me and made $50 million. I'm proud of you. But I'm crazy, you don't wanna be like me. I come from East Oakland where the young kids hype me. Blow it. Blow the whistle. Blow the whistle. Blow the whistle. Too short. Up all night, baby. Album number 16. Y'all can't do that.
All right, y'all, there it was. Blow the Whistle by Too Short. I know some of y'all don't know nothing about no Too Short, but I'm just letting you know that was Too Short. Yeah. Some of the old school know about Too Short. That's all I'm going to say about that. Anyway, oh, man, I'm telling you, welcome back to Let's Talk on Blog Talk Radio. Once again, I am Mr. Talk, and I have my co-host on the line with me, Sister Ngonye, and I see my chat room coordinator has shown up, Miss Antoinette from Detroit. Hey, Antoinette. And of course, we got I Am the Universe in the house and knowledge. In two, that is, knowledge. So we, hey, I'm telling you, we got the gang all here right now. So that's a great thing going on. And welcome, Enjoying Life. Thank you for joining us today. That's right, y'all. Mr. Talk is back. I'm bigger, better, and badder than ever. So if you want to try me, bring it on, buddy. Bring it on. Oh, Lord have mercy. I'm just saying, letting it be known. Letting it be known. Anyway, so what are we going to talk about? We got the quote of the day coming up. I think I got a good one going on for you today. And, you know, we're going to talk about that a little bit in a little while. Oh, Sister Ngonye, were you there? Okay, she may be out for a moment, but it's all good. We're going to get on talking about this quote of the day right here. And, of course, you know, y'all, I got to have, you know, Sister Ngonye started it. But, you know, she gets the drum roll for her quote of the day. As for me, I just read the quote of the day because I don't need the drum roll because I'm a drum rolling all in my own. That's right. I'll let y'all figure that one out. But anyway, as I mentioned before, before we got into the song of the day, you know, today we're going to talk a little bit about Nelson Mandela. I know some of y'all going, man, that's all we've been hearing since last week. Well, I wasn't here last week, so I'm going to talk a little bit about it. You don't like it? Oh, well. Okay. But anyway, we're good. We're ready to handle some things. Interesting. Okay. All right. Go private on me. Please go private. Let me know what you're talking about. All right, here we go. Quote of the day. The quote by Mr. Nelson Mandela. And I thought this was a very, very interesting and important quote. Really, it really is. Do not judge me by my successes. Judge me by how many times I fell down and got back up again. Y'all want me to say you one more time? One more time. I'm going to read this one more time. Do not judge me by my successes. Judge me by how many times I fell down and got back up again. And that's the quote of the day by the late Nelson Mandela. And you know what? That's a very, very strong and powerful quote right there. Because a lot of us get caught up. A lot of us get caught up in that success. You know, you always want the accolade, you know, once you have done something you think is great and grand and what have you. Well, you know, if you really look at it, anybody can do something grand that where they can get applauded or accolades for. You know what I mean? Some of y'all want that just for getting up out of the bed. What about that times? What about the times when you're just falling? You made a mistake. You know, what about that? Now, the question is, did you just lay there? Did you just lay there and say, oh, man, I'm through with this. I can't go no further. Or did you brush yourself off, get up, and go back and try it again twice as hard? No, because a lot of us out there now, I'm going to tell you, a lot of us out there, we don't fail weather people. We really are. As long as things are going good, you know, we want the accolade. But as soon as something go bad, we just fold like a little folding chair. You know, you just fall all up and get in the fetal position, and the world is going to go bad, and all this bad stuff is going to happen to you. Instead of you getting your behind up, dusting yourself off, and trying it again. I'm sorry, Antoinette. I'm sorry. Antoinette is from Delaware, not Detroit. I don't know where I got Detroit from anyway, but I'm sorry, Antoinette. I'm sorry. You know, but that's the quote of the day. You know, that's really powerful. You know, and you want people to actually, you know, and, you know, a part of it is our problem also. It really is. And here's why. Because in a lot of instances, we ourselves, you know, put these people on let these people, you know, we let these people think that only thing that matters is accomplishments. You know what I mean? The only thing that really makes someone stand out are what they do well. You know, but it takes more strength to fall and get back up than it does to keep going and to keep going and making things so wonderful for everybody else. But what happens when you fall down? Do you have the courage, the strength, the intestinal fortitude, the gonads, the nuts, the whatever you want to call it, to get back up, brush yourself off, and keep going? That is what takes strength. That is what takes
strength.
That's
very inspirational, Mr. Talk.
Oh, why, thank you. Welcome back.
I don't know what happened. I just had to hang up and call back in because you couldn't hear me. I was talking, but you couldn't hear me.
Oh, okay. No, I couldn't. Mm-hmm. With no telling anyway. All right. Well, I'm glad you think
that
was inspirational.
That is a very, very inspirational quote. And it speaks to, you know, like you said, having the courage to encounter failures, encounter obstacles, challenges, and have the courage to get back up and keep walking on your path. So you have to have trust in yourself, and you have to believe in yourself to do that.
Right, right. You know, and a prime example would be Nelson Mandela himself. You know,
yes,
the man
was
sitting. Go ahead.
But he had to be a courageous man to be able to endure 27 years in prison and come out and experience, you know, the life that he did. He left his mark on earth, that's for sure.
Yeah, for sure he did, you know. And just some of the things that he had to endure, you know, even before he was sentenced, you know, sent to prison, you know, some of the other things that they just went after him about. You know, so it did show some, you know, once he went to prison, he could say, okay, that's enough of this. I'm through with this. You know, let them do what they're going to do. But yet he came out fighting even more than he did when he went in, you know, on a bigger stage.
Well, wasn't he in the beginning of his life, wasn't he like a revolutionary? They were trying to bring revolutionary change to the country.
Well,
and so they were harassing. As a matter of fact, didn't you say they had him classified as a terrorist?
Yeah. Actually, well, his group in 1989. Yeah. In fact, the Department of Defense placed his group on the terrorist group profile list, and then they stayed there until 2008. So, you know, in 1952, they say he was charged with suppression of Communism Act and was banned from practicing law. 62, he was charged with leaving the country illegally after traveling to England, Morocco, and Ethiopia. 63, he was on trial for sabotage and faced the death penalty. And, of course, in 64, he was sentenced to life imprisonment. You know, wow.
He left his own homeland illegally. How about
How about it?
one of their chickens got loose, huh?
Yeah, exactly. One of the chickens got loose. That's a good way of putting it. You know, and, wow, it's just crazy. It's just crazy. Man, I see we got some hands up on the line already. I know this is going to be a good day. I already felt it in my spirit. Felt it in my
That's
spirit.
That's wonderful, as a matter of
fact. Mm-hmm. Let's see. Yes, it was. Yes, it is. So let me go ahead and bring them in. Let's see what we got to talk about. Now, I don't know. All right, we ready for this sister Angoni. We ready to bring him in. Are we ready to bring him in yet?
Let's do it. Let's do it. Why not? That's what we're here
all
for.
All right. All right.
See what people want to talk about today.
All right. Let's see. We're going to bring the first caller in. 111, welcome to the show. What you got
you
on your mind?
Put people in the queue anymore and find out who they are? You could have any type
well,
of...
Look at that. That's the long-lost crew member there.
I've been inquiring about you.
I've been wondering about you guys, though, because I sometimes take my life and do the responsible thing instead of hang out on these shows. I have responsibility. So it's funny that you mentioned, you know, picking yourself up and dusting yourself off and getting back in the game. Because
mm-hmm. Yes.
That seems to have been the story of my life.
Mm.
After,
I hear you.
After having it good for a while, and it's nobody's fault but my own, but I read your show heading. Because I did miss you a couple of times. On Friday, I went to call, and I saw that you weren't here. But,
right.
And your show heading says something, there's been a lot going on. And I've heard some BTR gossip, and people don't put it all the way out there. What's going on? Why have you been missing?
Why have I been missing?
Is there something going on behind the scenes? What's going on?
Oh, my.
Oh,
what?
Are you asking me? Oh, I had to upgrade a situation.
All right.
That's all I'm saying.
Okay. No, your show heading made it seem like it was something really serious.
No, I'm talking about as far as in the world, Beasley, not me. In the world.
I can't tell. It could be your world. All right. I don't know. There's always something crazy. It was very vague.
It said, another week is here and a lot has happened since we last talked. On the show today, we will discuss the passing of Nelson Mandela. The majority of us has witnessed the progress of Mr. Mandela's efforts. Unlike Martin Malcolm and JFK, we were unable to see what a positive attitude can do to change the world. Of course, there would be the sound of the day, song of the day, blah, 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 blah. Yeah, okay. But, yeah, that's what
well,
it was.
Well, you see,
yeah.
Mr. Talk, they missed you and wonder, well, what's going on? Where is he at? Is he okay? You know, that's great.
I had a birthday. I was in Lake Tahoe.
Oh, Lake Tahoe.
Ah, how was it?
Cold, beautiful. I think I get a little cold if I'm around. It's unfortunate, even though I'm fair-skinned, if I'm around too many white people, I seem to get sick.
You know, it's amazing how we have the image in our mind of people that we encounter. I always pictured you as very dark-skinned, because, see, I said the back of the berry to squeeze.
That's funny, because I'm fair-skinned, but there's a field Negro inside of me.
Oh, Lord.
I have a dark soul. That's funny because we do picture people. It's funny that you would picture me as dark skinned. I was raised by my much darker mother, so maybe that's why it comes out.
Uh-huh.
That's a story. You know, I can't go along with, you know, whenever the media starts pumping this out about how great someone is. He was a remarkable man, okay? He was a remarkable man. But are they putting this image out, and I can say this comfortably around you guys, because you guys, you know, think outside of the box, and the listeners do too. In fact, this is my favorite show, and you guys are my favorite group, even if we disagree sometimes.
Thank you, sir.
No, seriously. Some of them people get on my nerves. I stop messing with them. I scream and holler at them. No, I'm tired of their conservative, whatever, their ass-backwards bullshit. Is the media and the white world, are they accepting and adulating and putting this Mandela up like they do Martin Luther King now because he decided to forego vengeance? Okay, because...
No.
Are they making him a hero now? Because this is the way all of us should be, that we should forget that the way people had their foot on our necks and that it's better to turn the other cheek and that it's better that this is the way to do it, that this is the way that you get changed, that you won't get changed any other way, that you have to be persecuted and held in prison for 27 years, and then you forgive the people that oppressed you?
Okay. Now, I'm gonna tell you the way I feel about it, okay? And here it is. All right, the politically correct thing to do right now is say good things about him. Whether you believe in what he did or you know, believed in some of it or didn't believe, right now it's the proper thing to say, you know, because some people feel like you never talk ill of the dead. However, you know, Newt Gingrich and Ted Cruz came out, you know, with a nice little statement about him. And do you know their followers got really upset? And number one, and a lot of so-called Americans are upset now because the president ordered our flags to be flown at half staff. Now, a lot of them feel like that that is only a privilege that's reserved for, you know, so-called Americans. You know, so so the answer to your question is that it's just a politically correct thing to do because and a lot of them still, you know, even though he's dead, they really don't care. They don't care. They still think, you know, he's a criminal, he's a terrorist or, you know, whatever, because they really don't know. But I'm sorry, go ahead.
He's no more a terrorist than Patrick Henry, Benjamin Franklin, George Washington, anybody that was fighting oppression. And you want to know something? They tried every other method, the ANC, to promote some type of change in their country. And then I think there was a big, like a strike or there was a protest, and the police killed, this was in the early 60s, and the police shot down like 69 people, murdered them. Just murdered them out there. These are like, you know, nonviolent protesters, you know, or maybe they weren't, it wasn't a riot. Even if it was a riot, but they shot down and killed 69 people. And things like this happened all the time, but it was that instance that made the ANC and a certain segment of the ANC decide to go rogue. And what they started doing was blowing up power stations and water treatment facilities. And I think they tried to do it in a humane type of way, which they made sure and tried to do it at times when there were no civilians there. So to call him a terrorist is a real stretch.
Yeah. But
because
they always...
on that.
Go ahead, Mr. Beasley.
Go ahead. That's all.
Well, I was just going to say they always, you know, label people who stand up for truth and justice as something other than what they are. So terrorist is a, you know, kind of a blanket thing they put on anybody that can stand up and speak truth to power.
Right, right.
And I understand where you're coming from. I agree with Eric. I think Mr. Mandela was a courageous man, and like I said before, he left his imprint on the earth. You know, he lived a remarkable life. Although the conditions in South Africa for the people that live there today, I understand, are somewhat like the 30s and the 40s were for us here. But that's, you know, he still, I think, like Eric says, deserves to be acknowledged as a great man. Even if they're
correct.
Trying to use his life as a myth to, you know, to try to say that, you know, like you pointed out, the only way we can get along is to just stick your head down and turn the other cheek. But, you know, we're not going to go for that now, are we?
Well, it's a little different. In this country, mm-hmm. Black folks were the great minority. The difference there is that black folks are the great majority, 90% of the population.
And that's why they weren't able to impose the African language on them, because they were on their land, on their homeland. Remember Serafina, the movie?
I don't know the details that well of it. No, tell
the school children. They were trying to impose Afrikaans on to teach the children in school a foreign language, and they rebelled, and a lot of the children were slaughtered too.
Hmm.
Yeah, man.
Wow.
Looking back at the history there, it's hard to really embrace what Mandela did as the only way. And maybe he's an older, wiser man than me. Maybe all those years in captivity, you know, maybe it wore on him. Maybe it wore on him. You know, maybe he's a, you know, I don't know. don't know, this type of stuff disturbs me.
Right.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying.
Yeah.
But do you feel, Mr. Beasley, that he didn't live a courageous life? I mean, we're not talking about the results of his political life. We can see that,
He's a remarkable man. But a remarkable man to be able to have forgiveness to people that have punished you and punished your people so. That takes something special. I mean, that takes something special. I may not have it inside of me.
Right.
Do you do it from a position of strength, or do you do it from a position of your being beaten down?
Mm. Wow. You're right. Well, let me bring Mr. Dry Bones in.
Acquiescing and fighting to get along with you because I'm mentally beaten down and physically old and worn out, and I can't see any way.
Hmm.
Well, also, I have a friend who lives in South Africa. He was a teacher in his younger days, and he quit his job because he felt like he couldn't teach the truth. So he became a musician, and the name of his group is Black Noise. They've traveled all over the world, and he came to visit me and stayed for a week in the United States. I used to send boxes of books, like, you know, Dr. Francis Cresswell Singh and other books like that, and he used to take that information and put it in his music. And he said that for the whole time that Mr. Mandela was in prison, his image was banned in South Africa. So when he came out of prison, he said nobody knew what this man looked like. Dry Bones on the line?
Oh, yeah, I'm on. I'm letting you finish. How everybody doing? Appreciate y'all being back on the air again. I'm glad I caught up with y'all. And I'm going to say, Beasley, you are on point, in my opinion. He did some great things in the beginning, but in my opinion, the time that he was considered all that, in the 60s, we were having our own problems here in the 60s. So basically, it was two nations going at black folks at the same time. It was no in-between. So we really don't have a time to say, oh, he was doing that, because at the same time, we had the same revolutionaries here that was in the 60s even getting killed, lynched. They shot just as many blacks here at that time as they did in South Africa, so the parallels together. But my problem came when, after he became imprisoned, and that's why I say the strength did come to him to stay that there that long. But, you know, you break people's will in prison and their minds in prison, and when you're hitting rocks for 27 years and being a small confined, you know, room, you don't come out sane, really. So whatever was told to him at the time of being given out, he automatically picked the clerk as his vice president, which right there showed that it was a plan put together, because you don't just pick the vice president who was just at your people in that type of a system. Then he got rid of his wife, Winnie Mandela, who kept his name in the light. If it wasn't for Winnie, nobody in America would have been talking about Nelson Mandela at all. So he gets rid of her, and I'm doing even more research, and I'm finding out he's part of the Knights of St. John Columbus, of the Knights of Malta. I mean, this thing is very deep, what they did. 83% of the people in South Africa was in poverty before he became president, and 83% are even in poverty as we speak. All they did was put a face in a needed position, so they didn't have a cure-out revolutionary catastrophe, because they knew the people were going to start the fight soon. So you have to bring out your black card. And he was a likely black card, in my opinion. That's just my opinion through my little research of what I've been noticing about him. And when you realize that the wealth is still in the hands of the De Beers and the Oppenheimers and all of the so-called families that are of the Dutch, and some of the Jews, we really, really have not seen any change in South Africa other than people getting older. So I don't know why we like to give these accolades, because I think black America want to see somebody so happy, such a leader of anything. We just make anybody a saint. Pretty soon, our kids, if we don't get this thing corrected, they'll have Martin Luther King as a saint.
He's damn near considered a saint now.
Yeah, I mean, it's orchestrated. I mean, we look at
the nonviolent black man that tells you to turn the other cheek and to love your enemy, who's brutalized and abused you, is the one who's adulated. He's the one that's
I agree.
He's the great person.
And And another point before I let y'all take back, they got the man from India, who was Gandhi. Now they're putting them together with Gandhi, but people don't want to talk about it. Gandhi had a security force. This is a fact. That he had his own security force, and he hated black South Africans. He didn't even want to be a part of black South Africa. So we're given a false imagery about that, as if he's a peacemaker for everybody. He was not a peacemaker for everybody. He only wanted to get his people away from the blacks so they could have their own independence. And we're just lumping. America lives in fantasy world. I'm starting to realize from being on Facebook and all these things, we are in a fantasy mode. We are just making people into things that they never were. No research behind what these people's motives. And we'll just put them on a pedestal, and we'll be talking about how great they are, and then when we do the research 10 years later, he's like, wow, nothing was done. So we're into that, and that's something that I feel so sad about our people, because we will not look up, and we're ashamed to say, hey, this guy did wrong. He did not do a great job. Anytime your wife leaves you and tells you, hey, you're not the same man that went into this prison than when you came out, and she's right, he was not the same man. And he came out as a dolly, as a, what you call a peacemaker for the whites to make the blacks in South Africa, who are like Mr. Beasley and all you said earlier, who could outnumber them by, I think it was 94% black townships are all over the place. Those whites had to use violence at any cost to stay safe, and they're going to do it again. I'm going to say, and I'm going to just make my own little prediction, we haven't seen the end of apartheid in South Africa. It's going to raise its head because they know now they have to go back into power, because if they think that the blacks think they're going to keep that legacy, which is a fallacy, up, there are going to be repercussions. I believe we're going to see more problems in South Africa that we never seen before.
You can't tell me that apartheid still doesn't exist in South Africa. When you
it
look
exists.
At the economic scales, when you've had a certain class, white people, okay, that have had access to all the natural resources. South
That's
Africa
right.
is the most resource-rich area in the entire world. There's more gold, diamond, silver, platinum that's mined there and has been mined for centuries. That's come out of South Africa. There's wealth and riches that'll never go away.
Very
from
interesting.
From them plundering and stealing that. And you make a good point. Apartheid still exists in South Africa because there's economic apartheid. What difference
right.
does it make vote if you can't if you're living in a dirt hut?
That's
a dirt
right.
hut and other people have servants and marble floors. Give me a break.
Welcome, Mr. Beasley, for that, you know, it the same fact exists here. They just don't call it apartheid here.
Yeah, I agree.
It said that South Africa got the apartheid system from the segregation system in the United States.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's
so,
right.
I honestly believe that people do not look at history properly. They are just, we're into fantasy history. We don't want to analyze the civil rights movement. Some people know the civil rights movement did nothing for us but put a few black faces mold to look like they gave us something, but in reality, every foreigner in the world came over here and got what was supposed to be going to us. So we've been tricked again by these faces that they put in front of the world, and then you put a few actors like Oprah and, you know, the Denzels, and they go over there, and all these celebrities were hugging up to him, and we'll fall for it because that's the type of people we are. We're superficial. All we got to do is see a few celebrities say, oh, Mandela, Mandela. I mean, we'll make a white man a black hero soon. I mean, if we were told that this white guy was the savior for us, we'll be ready for it. Without any
well, you know what, Dry Bones? I hear where you and Mr. Beasley are coming from, and, you know, I'm aware of the conditions that the people live in South Africa now are not good, but I don't think that means just because you acknowledge that Mandela lived a courageous life based on what he went through. I didn't say he was the Messiah, or that he changed the whole world to, you know, he solved all the problems of the world.
No,
I don't think anyone
right now
can. So
not you. Not you been going
and
saying
that.
That's
what
I'm
saying. I don't think he, you know.
Not you. You haven't said that, but television, I've been watching the news frequently, and they got this guy as almost a, he's going to be, I guarantee you, the Pope might even make him a saint after 5 years. I'm just telling what
wow.
I believe.
And you know something
wow.
else they're not They're not even mentioning his history before prison. He was a revolutionary at one point.
That's right.
Okay.
He
yeah.
was a revolutionary at one point.
Yeah, he was, correct.
And you know another
well, that's
thing
why
that
we...
he, one thing
I'm
that
sorry,
he did that
ahead.
I admire about him is that when he got out and he was making his tour across the United States, you know, the press and people were coming at him about his ties to Fidel Castro and his ties to Gaddafi. And he said, well, you have to realize that these people were our friends and befriended us and funded us and always stood by our side. I guess he's talking about himself and the ANC and their movement. He said, I would not, you know, I'm not the type of man or I'm the type of person to turn my back on them now. They've always been our friends.
And that's another example to show the character of the man. But
well,
I think where we come in is, you know, we don't depend on the media to give us the true story. I think what you guys are describing is true. I haven't been paying attention to the mainstream news in regards to Mr. Mandela, but, I know how they spin things. So that's where our personal responsibility comes in for us to know history and to know, you know, to make ourselves aware of the truth of what happened there as well as in our own lives. In our own
right, mm-hmm. And that's very true. Now, I went and saw some pictures of him. A lot of times, we had a problem here. When he first came out, he came to Miami, and the Cubans had boycotted his visit here. They were going berserk down here because he was friends with Fidel Castro. I couldn't figure out. Later on, I found out him and Fidel Castro were both part of a Jesuit order.
Wow.
There's a lot of stuff going on here. I mean, he's a Jesuit. Fidel's a Jesuit. These people are all in the same. I always said, and I'm going to continue to say that, you do not let your enemy out of prison to rule over you. That does not happen in logical warfare.
Oh.
You never bring your enemy out. How's your enemy going to come out of prison and rule over you? That is not going to happen. That never will happen.
The term for this dry bones, controlled opposition.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
You never.
I didn't know that.
Right now.
I didn't know that.
Never seen a person come out of prison, and you telling me he's going to take the resources from the person who put him out? Here, you can come out of prison 27 years and be my president, but I guarantee you, you're not going to rule over me. That's a fact.
Geronimo Pratt didn't come out of prison and rule anything.
All right, hold on, gentlemen. I got two people been waiting patiently to get in here. So let me welcome the beautiful Antoinette from Delaware in the house. And then we also going to bring Mr. Brother Lowy into the house as well. Welcome to the show. How y'all doing?
Greetings.
Shalom. I was going to go ladies first, but you didn't say anything.
Shalom. Greetings,
okay.
Antoinette. Is she there?
No. Her mic is open, but she's not there. Go ahead, Lowy. What you want to add to the conversation?
Man, Mr. Bosley and Bones got some good points, man. You know, it's impossible and utterly ridiculous for anybody to think that your opposition that you had in prison for almost 30 years is going to get out of prison and then rule over you and be just with you. That doesn't happen in the civilized world too often. And the only way it could happen is if there was something in for Nelson Mandela. I mean, some kind of way he got his name off the terrorist list. You know, everybody knew that man was a terrorist in that country. That's what they called him anyway, you know. But the fact of the matter is, you know, those people, I just can't understand it. You have 95 to 96% of the population afraid of the small amount of people in the country that run everything. I just can't understand that. You know, to go all the way back to the apartheid, I can't understand that. I can't understand how people would allow those people, those occupiers, to come in and take their land.
Mm-hmm.
And just rule over
them. I think all you have to do is go back and reflect on some of the experiences our ancestors had during chattel slavery. They were brutalized. And so when you have people that are living...
Okay, who's got the traffic?
And
not me.
Not
hey,
me.
Lady, I'm going to mute. I'm going to close the window. I'll have the window open. I'll mute out.
So if you reflect
okay.
on the brutality that the people experience in their own land, I mean, they didn't come in there, you know, being fair and just to anybody. They came in there and brutalized the people.
Actually, you know
so
what?
If you don't have the ability to fight back and win, then you are obligated then to exist those conditions. And when that's passed generation to generation, the same thing happened to us over here. Don't you think?
Actually, you're right. Actually, you're right. You're right. And you know why I say you're right? Because scripturally sound, the scriptures say that his words were smoother than butter. Those people, they come with peace at first. They come talking peace at first. And before you know it, they own the you own the country, and they own the peace. And the next thing you know, they own the country, and you talking peace because you getting tired of them putting their foot in your behind.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I can
well,
go
if
with
you,
that.
Mm-hmm.
All the treaties that they made with the North American Indians, which was a tribe of Gad, they broke those treaties, every one of them.
Mm-hmm.
And slaughtered those people. So I can see that. I can see that. It doesn't take many. And then you get the war machine stirred up, which to me, all wars start with the media. You get the media stirred up, and you get a certain demographic of people to look as though they are the bad guys. And you got everything else beat, regardless of who's right or who's wrong. If the media says that I'm wrong and the rest of the world should be against me, and then that's what's going to happen. And we do tend to formulate our opinions on what the rest of the world thinks and what the media has to say, which is foolish.
Mm. Wow.
I agree. And if you look at his life in the context of today's reality on the continent of Africa with 54 nations, which they've been talking for probably a decade or more about, the African Union, and you realize that 65% of the African Union's resources come from the EU, and you recognize that each one of those so-called leaders, you know, make a deal with the people that are running things in the world today, that they are really invested in maintaining the boundaries and the borders and the relationship with the ex-colonial masters. So you can put Mr. Mandela in the same context, not to say anything negative, but, I mean, you are where you were when. We all live and grow and become consciously aware based on understanding the environment that we live in at the time that we live.
Right. Yeah, just tell the truth. We don't have to sugarcoat it. Just tell the truth about it, you know. Like I say, you don't come out of 3 decades of prison and then all of a sudden become the have the highest office in the land at no cost. That's just futile.
The highest political office. You know
yeah,
what
you know what I mean.
But you
well,
know
we
what
have the example of the look. They played that in South Africa, and look what they played us here. Look what we
Absolutely.
Got in now.
Absolutely,
it's the same exact. It's the same thing.
Let's look at one thing. Let's look at one thing. Now, during and after George Bush, you even had the lowest form of so-called Negro there is talking politics. You know, the marijuana smoker, the alcohol drinker that cared nothing about the government or politics was talking politics because things were so bad. Everything was war. Everything was, we're about to go into somebody else's country. And so my brother that's in the military, my cousin that's in the military is about to go somewhere else, and he could possibly get killed. You even had those people talking about politics. And so they bring a fresh new face and change and a new regime, and everything's going to be different, and we're going to make transparency our right arm. But nothing actually changed. You know, it sounded good.
Mm-hmm.
It sounded good on the face.
At first,
but
it got more intense. You know what's interesting? I was just thinking, I was like, wow, what a refreshing conversation we're having. They're not having a conversation speaking critically of Mandela anywhere. And then I'm looking on my iTouch right now. May I read a paragraph? It's coming from Bloomberg. Please. It's coming from Bloomberg. And here's the title of the article. The article came out less than 30 minutes ago. It says, "Was Mandela right to set out Black South Africans?" Now, this is coming from Bloomberg, you know?
Why not? Why not?
But listen, listen.
No, no, right? No, no. I'm saying why not? Why shouldn't it come from Bloomberg?
Well, because Bloomberg is a billionaire that tracks the stock market that's in bed with Wall Street. But tell me if any of you disagree, because it really repeats what I just said and what most of you just said. Let me read a couple paragraphs. I'll be brief. It says, "Nelson Mandela sold out Black South Africans." Now, there's a sentence you wouldn't have heard in the days since his death, and that you won't be hearing at his funeral tomorrow. Yet it is incontrovertibly true that after centuries of being robbed of possibly the greatest mineral wealth the world has ever known, not to mention decades of being repressed by apartheid, Black South Africans got us almost no compensation for what rightfully should have been theirs, when the old regime was swept away from the new South Africa. Indeed, the basic deal Mandela struck from prison with de Klerk, and which was subsequently enshrined in the South African Constitution, essentially guaranteed the existing property rights of white South Africans in exchange for an end to apartheid. For whites, the deal made sense. Apartheid could not be maintained forever against international pressure and internal resistance. The odds of holding on to the material benefits of the oppressive traditional system were much higher with black enfranchisement than without it. A successful revolution would lead to the dispossession of whites, just as it had in almost every other corner of the former colonial sub-Saharan Africa. What Mandela did was more. What Mandela was promising was more than half a loaf. It was a whole loaf with wealth proportionally and a small loaf of political power. Wow. That's the truth.
Well, I only have one problem with that, when it starts off saying that he sold South Africans out, because I don't think that takes into consideration that in these institutions, you know, that we call nation states, it's not a one-man show. He didn't have the power to change significantly the conditions in South Africa. That would have had to be done, I think, you know, if it was to be done in earnest by the institutions in that nation, just like it's not done here. One person can't do that.
Well, in all honesty, I say this. You saying why would Bloomberg and associates come up with something? They put it out there because people already know this stuff. You just don't have people saying it out of their mouths.
Not everybody knows. Everybody thinks that deeply.
Yeah, true, but the people that need to be in the know, it's okay for you ignorant blacks and Latinos or whatever to think, oh, he was such a great person, he was such a great guy. But the people that actually know this stuff, they already know it, and only thing going to happen is you're going to have the race baiting now. Oh, they prejudiced for saying this about Mr. Mandela.
Exactly.
They racist. That's all.
So are you saying, Brother Lowe, that he wasn't a great man because he didn't completely change the conditions for the people who live in South Africa? Does that take away from the life that he lived? And I mean, does that make him a low down, dirty person, or what? What are you saying?
Well, I'm just saying that he was a person. That's it. And people may start out with honorable means, but in the end, all of that can change. One or two situations.
Absolutely.
And you can
point at every person who is a so-called leader of a nation on this planet. Not that I'm trying to be a defense lawyer for Mandela, because I understand the conditions that are still there in South Africa, as well as I understand the conditions are right here under our feet.
He made a hell of a compromise, Tristan Gonyea.
Right. You're doing a yeoman's job, actually.
Political power and voting, without some share of the pie, without some reparations, is really kind of empty. You know, you got an air.
Well, yeah. absolutely. But once again, what I'm saying is one person cannot make those changes. So when they say he's out.
The first thing you don't do is you don't employ your enemy to help you make those changes. You don't get a
Well, I agree with that. I'm not saying he's the Messiah or anything, you know, but I
still don't think that's the way he lived. Just like to me, I know nothing about politics more than anybody else. I don't care what anybody says. If me and Mr. Talk were going for a public office and he came up with every piece of trash he could to talk me in the ground, after I won, I would not give him a job, just like Barack Obama did to Hillary Clinton. I would to hell with her.
But politics works that way.
They can, and then on the other side, they can work to say, to hell with you.
And you know what?
You telling me they never turn their back on people?
you can apply the same analysis to Castro as you can to Nelson Mandela.
Right. You know, and I think that's kind
no,
of
you,
a
I, well, not in the economic respect. Castro nationalized everything and kicked all the corporations and all the robber barons and all the money people out. He kicked them all out. Castro was a real revolutionary.
Okay. Well, hold on for a minute, y'all. Hold on for a minute. Let me bring Antoinette in. Are you still there, Antoinette?
Yes. Hello, everyone.
Hey.
Greetings.
Greetings.
Hello, Sister Agonia. Well, today's a pretty special day. We got Mr. Talk back and we got Beasley. Both of them came.
Yes.
Back.
Oh.
We're inquiring about him.
We weren't together.
Oh. No, we weren't together. We know that.
Make me throw up. Nah, I'm just making it clear.
Oh, they knew that already.
Yeah, you were gone for a minute, Bosley.
Beasley.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm thinking about the TV show.
Yeah.
All right, y'all.
Hello. Hello, just likes to bother with me. It's all right.
Do I hear my boss on the line?
Pardon me?
I thought I heard Michael Alsax on the line. Sorry.
No. No, not at all.
I like Mike's personality. I don't always agree with the way that he words things and put things out, and sometimes it's confusing, but Mike's got a good spirit about himself.
I like Mike, too.
Well, okay.
Let's hold hands.
Yeah, Antoinette, you were about to say something?
No, that last thing threw me for a loop.
Okay.
Where's N2K's intelligent, articulate ass? I want to hear what he has to say, if he cares.
He's in the chat room.
Tell him to call in.
Look, they're speaking of football right now. They're talking football right now, so they're all right. But let me bring, I got a whole bunch of people on the line waiting. Let me bring Every code 786 and Mr. Wesley on the line.
That's me.
Hey, how y'all doing, man? I'm calling from the Belly of the Peace down here in Jacksonville, Florida. Mr. Talk, I'm in your hometown right now.
All right.
Hey, Brother Wesley.
What's going on?
Hey, I'm just trying to get out of Georgia for a minute while I can get some warm weather, man. It's nice down here in Jacksonville, brother.
I think
Beasley was right about Castro, but the comparison I'm making between Obama and Mandela, they just a symbol, man. They just a symbol to think black people that they arrived, while all this time the economic of these Europeans is still running the world, man. And i.e. in Africa, what Mandela was, I think the most greatest hero in Africa right now is my man Mugabe from Zimbabwe. Well, he kicked them freaking Europeans off the damn African indigenous people land and claiming their own land, man. You see what I'm saying? That's the real manifest.
Mugabe, I respect Mugabe, but he didn't do that until 15 years later when they was threatening to kill him if he didn't do it.
Well, it needs to start, man, whether 15 years or 40 years in the wilderness, man. I mean, at least they're getting back their stuff, man. That's the main thing, man. They're getting back. Yeah. I mean, how the hell how you feel if somebody roll up in your house and just deep on your stuff, man? See what I'm saying?
Well, yeah, I understand that, but to me, it's the exact same thing as like we always agree. For me to continue to write my congressman and write, if you get enough people to tell, hey, you know what, Senator so-and-so, we're your constituents. If you don't adhere to what we want, you won't be here next year. That's when you get things moved around. Now, in a country like Zimbabwe, hey, if you don't do what we tell you to do to help us out, we're going to kill you. You know, that's how it is.
Take back our stuff, everything they done stole and took, man. But one thing about the women in South Africa, they forming co-ops and they buying diamond mines and stuff, man. The women, they coming up with something. They putting their money together and buying all these resources, these diamond mines and other resources, and running their own companies and their own business. Now, don't get it twisted. There's some rich black Africans that's running some stuff in Africa. Everybody living in no damn hut.
Not everybody, The thing I don't like about it is the fact that you get the prosperous one or two that's going to eventually start to look at how the Europeans ran their business and going to treat their employees the exact same way, paying them a little bit to nothing. You know, that's one reason why I don't care when you got all these people that I know a guy that paid $1,200 for a cell phone more than 5 years ago. And what happened was he forgot the code to the phone. He put the wrong code in. This happened in Kuwait. And he locked the phone and couldn't get it unlocked. He said, to hell with it, I'll go and buy another phone. The thing is, the stuff that it takes to make these phones and these computers and all of this stuff, those people get paid little to no money for mining that stuff.
Yeah, that's cobalt, man. They're picking up cobalt from the mines, man. I agree with what you're saying, man. But like I said, the women, they put their money together in South Africa and buying mines, man. Okay? And that's what we have to start doing, man.
We got to what?
Start putting our money together and start owning some shit, man. It's time.
They don't have no money and nobody owns anything over here. They just think they own something. Okay?
Right.
You don't have any money. You have Federal Reserve notes.
That was a good point.
Well,
I'm going to tell you why. I found out today. I passed by a sign more than, I don't know how many, 20 years looking at this sign, and I never understood what it meant. Normally when you pass by a sign going in or out of a town, it says the town's name and the population. Certain cities in Louisiana, it says the name and then corp limit.
Corporation, yes. Welcome to the corporation.
I did not know what that meant until today.
I saw that for the first time, Brother Lowe, when I was coming back from Ohio, coming back into Indiana. It said, welcome to the corporation of Indiana.
Wow.
And I didn't know what it meant back then either, but I know what it means now.
Yeah,
I hear where you're coming from. Do you remember Professor Amos Wilson, Brother Wesley? I'm sure you do.
Yes, ma'am, I sure do.
Do you remember the last book he wrote, big 700-and-some-page book about black economics? He was a black nationalist. So he wrote a book, you know, to tell us how to get our economics together. But you see, the problem with that is, in my humble opinion, capitalism is the problem, whether it's black capitalism or any other color. Because the whole thing, we forget, we were the first we were the first commodities on Wall Street, our ancestors were. And
right.
I don't see how the system of capitalism, the way it runs, it feeds on everybody else. So it's systemic. And it's not going to – it can't be reformed. So when Brother Lowe was talking about even, you know, getting rid of your representatives and so forth and so on like that, which I know that's not capitalism, but that's part of the farce of capitalism and goes hand in hand with the so-called democracy that we believe in. And I don't think it can be reformed.
Well, the best capitalist I know, I kind of agree with, was Henry Ford. Because the way he got the idea from assembly line from Elijah McCoy, but the point is, he made it so that his workers could afford that car they was making, man, that T-Model A Ford. He made sure that they was able to buy that. So you got to make sure your workers can afford it.
The problem is a small group of people own the means of production. So I don't care how much prosperity you accumulate and you think you own a home or a business or this and that and the other, you're standing on somebody else's platform.
Right.
So therefore you don't have your own laws, you don't have your own liberty because you got to go get a license to do this and that and the other and pay this one a tax and so forth. That's not freedom.
You can't win the game up by selling Tupperware and Mary Kay. Okay, a lot of women that came up from them selling them two products.
No, they came up to what?
He's using that pyramid thing. But let me ask you a question. You said put our money together. Before you mentioned Henry Ford, there was a black man who made the car before Henry Ford. His name was C.G. Patterson.
Mm-hmm.
He had the whole thing. He had it all lined up and everything. Here's the problem. He couldn't get the capital because of what? That's right. They did not want a black person to have that car first because it made him lucrative and it would give him generational wealth. We are dealing with people who do not want us to have generational wealth because that's what keeps the people going.
But they can't stop
and every 100 years, they turn the clock back. Do you notice that? Every 100 years or so, they do an economic collapse turn the clock.
Hold on. Hold on.
Before that, every ten years, they do it quicker than that. This is the mini cycles in between the big cycle.
I'm talking about the big collapse when they take it all down.
You had the big collapse in 1929. You had another one in 2008.
Okay. Hold on for a minute, Beasley. Hold on.
Go ahead.
Let me bring because I got a lot of people waiting right now. So let me bring a first time call on Mr. Nkemba. Nkemba, yes. Welcome to the show, sir. And let's bring Miss Ebony Empress on the line. So welcome to the show, y'all. And the line's open. Go ahead.
Hi.
Okay.
Hi,
everyone.
Yeah,
how
hello.
You
doing? I'm good.
Hi,
hello, Internet. And hello, and Sister Ngone, and like everybody else. Hi. Hi. How you doing? And I think I heard Beasley. And who else did I hear? I don't know, but I lost track. But there are a few of you there. So hi.
You heard the Lion of Judah roaring, the Lion of Judah, President of California.
Oh, the Lion of Judah, is that old Wesley?
Yeah.
Hi, Wesley.
Okay.
Yeah.
Nkemba, the first-time caller, isn't he? Right, first-time caller.
First-time caller. You need to clap your hands.
Oh, yeah,
yeah,
you do need to clap your hands. All right, go ahead. Okay. All right. So what's on your mind, brother?
Oh, okay. Yeah, I've been listening. I was invited by Sister Ngoni, and then I also know Brother Dry Bones. But I spoke on his show about my credit service at one time, but I've been listening for the last couple of weeks, I believe, since Sister Ngoni invited me on and listen to some of the interesting conversation. I kind of wanted to chime in on this one, though, just coming from a black revolutionary background on Nelson Mandela. You haven't concluded that discussion and moved on, have you?
No, we haven't.
Okay, great. Well, nevertheless, just to say something about me. I was formerly with the Uhuru Movement, the African People's Socialist Party, and I was a member of that. And at the time that Mandela, who was part of the ANC, was coming out of prison, and our position at the time, we united with the Pan-Africanist Congress of Azania, and so we were more so against the antics and the position that Nelson Mandela had taken. And I agree with a lot of the people on the line previously. I think it was Mr. Beasley and Dry Bones who had said that there's no possible way that they can pull some black men out of prison and make him president without black people or people around the world should be somewhat suspicious of it, because we definitely were. We wrote extensive articles on that in along with the Pan-Africanist Congress of Azania. Now, we definitely knew that he benefited the black petty bourgeoisie there
in Azania, which that's the original name of South Africa, is Azania, and that's where we like to refer to it as. But he was he definitely benefited somebody, but it wasn't the masses of black people that were impoverished. He benefited, of course, the Jewish/white establishment that was already in power there, and the black petty bourgeoisie. So we were totally against that. We said it was no representation of the black masses. But even the ANC always had a very liberal stance, and somebody said that they were revolutionary. I beg to differ. We don't believe that nothing was revolutionary about the ANC. The Pan-Africanist Congress of Azania exposed them years prior. They were out there blowing up empty buildings and things of that nature. So he was more like we considered the civil rights movement in the United States versus the black revolutionary movement.
Hey, let me ask you a question, my brother. Hold up. Do you remember the ANC when it was blowing up communication towers? Well, let me put this out. They blew up TV towers and radio towers. I think that's revolutionary, don't you think, bro?
Well, I do, and I'm not saying that I'm not saying that I know everything about it, but nevertheless, I'm saying that's what our stance was back then. Is that,
well, I'm
that
telling you from the beginning, man, what they were doing, man. They was blowing up the communication towers for TV and radio, like when they were the right races was running the TV stations and the radio towers, man. That's revolutionary.
And the same Congress
thing.
Of Azania was the profound revolutionary organization, and we was critical of the ANC because they more so were like the civil rights movement in the 60s here as opposed to the black revolutionary movement, the Pan-Africanist Congress of Azania, which is anybody familiar with the Pan-Africanist Congress of Azania on this line?
I heard of it before, yes.
I heard of it before, man, but I ain't heard no black civil rights groups over here blowing up nothing, man. All they're doing is mocking and shit,
I
man.
I agree.
So right now, man, you running some false propaganda right there. You making false comparison, my brother.
Brother Wesley, he's sharing with us in the of the history, and see,
well,
we have to remember that these kind of things happen. It's a, you know, situation evolved, you know, and look at the Nation of Islam. The Nation of Islam was revolutionary when they first started, but then once you get build an organization, what happens if you follow the evolution of organizations is when they gain some things that they have to protect, then they stop being revolutionary.
What black Islamic group revolutionary doing all kind of danger? What black Islamic group are you trying to refer to, ma'am?
The Nation of Islam.
Islam.
At one time, the Nation of Islam was revolutionary.
No, they were revolutionary and changing people's mind. They ain't do no violence.
I don't think of revolution only as violence, brother. As a matter of fact, changing
violence.
People's minds is more important than violence.
There you go.
Real revolution, though, shed some blood.
Well, here's the thing, brother, where I was coming from. We united. We were in America, so we weren't there in Azania at the time it was going on. We were getting our information from the Pan-Africanist Congress of Azania, which was a true black revolutionary organization that we united with as opposed to the ANC. Now, I know that they blew up buildings, but we still consider them more so part of the civil rights movement as opposed to the black revolutionary movement here in the 60s, the way that they represented themselves. Now, like I said, I wasn't there,
bad.
But we got
I'm trying to see what
the Congress of Azania.
Part of and you supported. I understand what you're saying.
Bro. You think they was positive in getting the message out, or you think they were too weak, or they were too strong, or what? What's your point?
We thought that they were too weak. We thought the ANC was too weak in getting their message out. And we weren't talking about sharing the land with anybody. We wanted the land for the Zulus and the people of Azania who were originally there, which we considered the black Africans. We didn't want to say share the land, give us our land back, and then we'll make a decision whether we want you to stay or not. Not come out of prison and become president and say the land belongs to all of us.
Well, the problem is they get in there and get the Dutes and the Zulus and the Hutus against each other, man. Okay? That's the whole problem right there. Once they did that serpent,
Zulus and Hutus are different tribes. They're further north.
Yeah.
Well, I'm just saying how they get in there and start splitting people up, bro. Okay? That's what I'm trying to make
it. I just want to ask a question.
Just like I said, their words were smoother than butter. They'll go to one side and tell them one thing, go to the other side and tell them something else, and they'll step back and let them kill each other.
That's
right. Brother, the reality of the situation is you can come out and say anything you want to, but if you don't have the firepower to tell them to get out and stick, make that stick, then you don't have any choice but to negotiate.
Right. We disagree with his type of negotiation. We thought that we were highly suspicious of him coming out and essentially we consider selling the people out, selling the masses of black Africans out by becoming president of the country and then talking about everything's fine, we forgive you for the past. I wouldn't want some type of apology based on that. It had to be something more concrete than just say, oh, we'll just wipe everything under the rug and then now South Africa, which is Azania, belongs to everybody. That's what our disagreement was.
I think it's interesting that we just had a repeat of the same thing right here in the United States.
Right. Oh, you're right. I agree.
How come we went, I seen it coming. I don't know about anybody else.
I do. Well, we're going to end up just like South Africa. But my question to you, my brother, what you think about Mugabe and Zimbabwe, man? What you think about that?
I don't mind any black African leader taking extreme measures. With anything that the U.S. government considers extreme or the Zionist Jews out of Israel consider extreme, then I say it's great. So whatever Mugabe's doing, based on my studies of him, I applaud his efforts. Because I'm not against, because when somebody else, the United States or the Zionist Israel says that black Africans are being extreme, then I have a tendency to unite with them because I want to be considered extreme by these enemy forces.
Mm. Well, that's the people being extreme because all the leaders of the nations are just like you're saying that Mandela and all the rest of those leaders over
lap dogs. Bootlegs.
Yeah, lap dogs.
Yeah, because they don't have any, they have no enforcement, okay?
Right.
But hold on a second.
I have a question.
Now,
Who is Remo?
Over those farms from those white farmers that shouldn't have been there in the first place, but
yes.
In the same respect, you have to keep in mind, whatever spoils he gets is for him and his circle. The majority,
absolutely.
The majority of people living in the former Rhodesia, Zimbabwe, are still in poverty as well. It doesn't go to the people. So
right.
That's what I was telling.
But
good
in
one respect, but when you have it, but what difference does it make at the end of the day? If the tyrant is white or is black, it's still a tyrant.
Exactly.
That's right.
I agree with that.
That's
and
why
I agree with that based on even in Krumah's word.
One man
that I do respect, and they don't talk much about him, was Steve Biko.
Biko. Now, we united with him as well.
Yeah. They don't talk about that guy much at all, but it's
they
crazy
made a movie.
That they made a movie, yeah, you're right. But the thing is,
watered-down movie.
Yeah, it was watered down. Yeah, absolutely. You know, if even Hotel Rwanda, to me, that was kind of watered down because if those things were so heinous, then you would have had people like Ashcroft, you would have had her saying, hey, we can't allow this. We're the world's watchdogs. And
they're the ones that sent the daggone blades in there. United States and France, I think it was.
I was waiting for somebody to say that.
That's right.
Yeah.
So, brother, I want to know, who is Remo?
So is it
Brother Ikemba, are you still there?
Yes, I'm still there.
Who was Free Remo? Wasn't that a revolutionary group? Free Remo.
Steve Biko. Yeah, they said Steve Biko, but who did you say, Sister Ngoni?
Free Remo.
Free Nemo.
That's the fish.
You don't sound familiar?
That's the fish. That's a cartoon.
Oh, man. This dude here.
No. This is a group. I wanted to know what part of South Africa they were in. Because was that the Herero people?
Can I ask a question?
Now, that's a saltwater fish that was in the tank trying to get back to his
farm. Oh, Mr. Beasley.
Oh,
man. All right, hold on. I got a couple of more people need to get in here. I want to welcome Miss Lady to the show. And we're going to also welcome All Facts to the show.
What it do, Miss Lady? What it do? What it do, Miss Lady?
I wanted to ask a question before everybody starts talking again. Just a question to
I haven't talked at all. Can I say something?
Exactly, Ebony. She hasn't talked at all. You've been.
I haven't said anything yet.
Right, but
she
hasn't said
anything either.
I was on before you guys.
Go ahead, Ebony.
Thank you. I was just going to ask a question. Steve Biko was an anti-apartheid activist, obviously in South Africa, but he set up the Black Consciousness Movement what happened to the Black Consciousness Movement that he set up? Because I hear now about the ANC, and you know, and then there's the movement that you talked about. But what is that? What happened to the Black Consciousness Movement? Does anybody know?
In my opinion, there was never no Black Consciousness. Now everybody waking up. We got Black Consciousness. Everybody that's on the line right now got more Black Consciousness now.
People actually set up a movement that was called the Black Consciousness Movement. And
Was that in South Africa?
Yes, he did.
Yes.
And I'm
just saying, what
happened to that movement after he died? Because I haven't heard anything more about it. I just wondered if the guy who was talking about the ANC.
This is Kimber.
Sorry?
Yeah, this is Kimber. I was the one talking about that. But the Black Consciousness Movement that was led by Stephen Biko, Stephen Biko didn't die. He was assassinated as well.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And so what happened, just like what happened in this country in the 60s, the defeat of the Black Revolution of the 60s was any time they killed the leader, then the mass of people were scattered. That's why I'm totally against having a leader. We should all be leaders from now on. So when they kill one of us, we'll continue to fight.
Bro. Sure, right.
And
right
we should also
that.
Remember that these things happen in cycles. They don't go in a straight line. And Mr. Beasley Frelimo was in Mozambique.
I'm sorry. I didn't know. You know I like
mm-hmm.
That's all that was. Hey, but I agree with you, Mr. DeKimbo, man. All us are leaders, man, because you know we know the history of the cycle is when somebody leaders step out, they're going to bump him off, and people be like the children of Israel running in the wilderness for 40 years. So now we know each one of us a leader, man. Each one of us.
Can I say something?
Of course, Ms. Lady.
I want to address about 3 points quickly. Because I was listening when someone was comparing the continent of Africa to Castro's Cuba, but those are just not comparable. You have a small, isolated island. It's easier to take control of a smaller group of people in that kind of a geographic location versus a whole a big country, part of a huge continent where you have warring factions and tribes and all the different political and stuff going on in the war. So, you know, it was easier, much easier for Castro to contain Cuba and maintain control over Cuba. He also had a gay secondly, my point is that it's easy to, like, to be armchair critiquers of someone who said, I mean, people haven't been in jail for 20-plus years under those kind of conditions that Mandela was under, and he probably did the best that he could do. Vip Ngozi is absolutely correct. He did not have any power or authority to demand anything. He had to negotiate, and he had to give up probably a lot of what he wanted to have take place.
Look at the people of Haiti. They kicked the podium tonight, and they've been catching hell ever since, man. Okay?
People kicking off their land.
Excuse me, look at the people of Haiti.
She's not finished, gentlemen, and I haven't said anything. I've been listening for a while. Let her
finish.
But
you got your own show, man.
Right, Ebony has her own show, too, but I'm still an American, and he's invited me on this show. Come on, let her finish.
Okay,
let's have a nice conversation, please.
Exactly.
Thank you. That was my third point. Some men were saying men need to get together like the women. Well, this is just an example. It's easier for women to get together to make changes, I believe, because they have more of a spirit of cooperation versus competition. Their testosterone level isn't off the charts.
I knew this bullshit, lady. Okay, get away from testosterone crap, man.
It's absolutely true.
You need testosterone. You need a man to control you.
Even Roger Ebert, the film critic that was married to a black attorney, even wrote an article about women are more cooperative. That's why, if you say so. That's why the African women are getting together. Didn't someone say they're getting together and they're buying things for cooperation?
That's an example.
So don't get upset and angry.
Well, look at the housewives of Atlanta. You talk about women cooperative. Look at the housewives of Atlanta. What the fuck are you talking about, women cooperative?
Go ahead, Michael. Please.
Well, would you just be quiet? See, this is my point exactly. No, I'm talking. Excuse me. There's no reason to be disrespectful. There's no reason to be rude and disrespectful.
Nobody
you're an adult. I take it. And my fourth point is they will kill you. Step out there and try and, I mean, look what happened to Martin Luther King. Look what happened to both the Kennedys. Look what happened to Abraham Lincoln. Look what happened to Malcolm X. Look what happened to Senator Pearl Wellstone, who was very pro-liberal and for the underdog. His plane went down. They will take down your private plane or a passenger jet full of hundreds of passengers. Step on out there. Any of you that want to be a leader and come off the armchair, feel free.
Well, I'm going to tell you, that concept ain't
well,
cool.
Hold up, sir. I want to make some points.
Please, let him talk. Let him
3 points.
Okay,
somebody to get up the ladder where they want to go.
Right.
That's
right.
Go
ahead, Michael.
Okay, well, first of all, what he said is very correct, and I always say it all the time. And Nelson Mandela said it too. He said, I'm not a prophet. I'm not a leader. He said, I'm a humble servant of the people when he came out. And that's true. We are all our leaders. When we select these politicians, because whatever government you want to have, when you want to tear this down, you're going to have to elect people to represent you, some type of structure, some type of system. So they're representatives. They're not our leaders. Every one of us is our leader. We make our last decision. So no one can lead, even in relationships. Never have a man or a woman lead you. You're your leader.
Oh,
now,
please.
Sir, as far as the candidate mind control, sir, look at the facts. Information. When he went to Congo, he decided never to do it. It's documented record that the United States has never fully factually totally mind controlled anyone. Now listen, listen to what he's saying.
God.
And this is the problem of our quote unquote black people or cause division. We are talking about the concepts of how to deal with the quote unquote white people of the world. And he brought up the 60s, and it's very important. We were divided as people, us as black people have always been divided, even when black people were not involved in Africa, tribes against other tribes. That's division right there. But if our country, you had Malcolm X said, and some other Black Party members back in the 60s, says we need to go the violent way out, get our guns and shoot our way for our freedom. Then you had people like Martin Luther King said nonviolence. Right there, that's two different concepts of how to get freedom. Now, Mandela and Martin Luther King, they said the concept is, well, we're going to challenge you. We need to compromise, and we're going to go to the law, not war. Because me, if I look, if we were to put up arms against those white folks, they would have annihilated us. They got too many guns. That's just a fact. I can't get
Where?
Mad at that. That's just a fact.
Where?
In this
Where?
Nation. In this nation right now.
You crazy. Man, you crazy.
They make them, boy. They make them. They're
There's
just doing. What are you talking
yeah,
about?
Hold on,
they make.
Hold on.
Now, listen. I'm talking about the concept of black people being divided.
You guys had time.
Listen,
so we can hear.
You
Thank
had,
you.
You had the riots, the L.A. riots, the ones I know about, because I'm only 38. The ones I know about from the 90s, after Rodney King. You had white people, even the government, afraid of those black people and those Hispanics. Everybody was afraid then. They didn't want – you can say whatever you want to, and they wasn't going to bring the military in there because –
Can I finish my statement? I'm going to finish my statement. No, I'm not. I haven't even that wasn't even 2 minutes. Time me when you play the tape back. I wasn't even 2 minutes.
You don't mind me 45 minutes to make a point.
Exactly.
No,
what did dude come out with? I got to get 3 or 5 minutes.
Miss Lady made her points. Ebony made her points. Look how you're being biased.
Why
you don't
you
like what I got to say.
Mike, I love you, but you be taking a
I'm
long
trying
time.
To. No, I'm not. If you listen to me. Okay, I'm going to be quiet.
Go ahead and talk.
I'm going to be quiet. Y'all hate what I'm saying. I know they hate it, Miss Love. I know they hate it. Check out the All Facts show.
Man, Mike, you are when someone gives you the floor and says and lets you go ahead and talk, you say, no, that's all right. I'm taking my ball and I'm going home.
Man, ain't nobody checking out no damn All Facts show. He'll be listening to
a lot of people check out the All Facts show.
I won't be. So y'all
let you talk.
Uh-huh.
Let you talk. All Facts show is kind of fun at nighttime.
Uh-huh. Well, I have a life. I ain't sitting up waiting on him and then this show and that. Man, hell with all that.
You just don't like him. It's all right.
No, it has nothing to do with that, man. I'm not a guy.
What happened?
I don't know. I'm still here. I don't know what
still
happened.
Here, I hope.
Well, who's that? Ebony?
I hope.
We got
drop off.
Here.
Hey, what's up?
Who is this, Joe?
Whose line is this?
Who?
Oh, it's me.
Oh, greetings. Is this
Righteous.
From UK Supreme?
Righteous. Yes, Righteous. I didn't
greetings.
Know that my line was open. Righteous.
Welcome.
Sister. And, you know,
Hi,
to go to Righteousness, Sister Ebony. And Righteousness, Brother Eric, and everyone else on the line. And I wanted to say about Mandela, you know, in my view, Mandela, you know, he started off, he did the righteous thing, he was doing the right work, and then afterwards he just sold out. Now, I don't know what I would do in that situation, doing 26, 27 years and, you know, in jail for something, just for standing up for your freedom. But, you know, I have to say to myself, sons, I have to say that, you know, there's good and there's bad in he came out, you know, the white man, he got his his ascension from feeling the burn of slavery or feeling the pain of or feeling the guilt of slavery, and that's what he admonished. And then, you know, so for me, you know, in a nutshell, you know, I feel that he was working for the, you know, the best interest of the devil. And so was Martin Luther the King. And Malcolm X, you know, he lost his way. He started off doing the righteous thing with the great teacher. a great honorable Elijah Muhammad, but then, you know, he lost his way when he came back because he started to go on to the militant way. And, you know, I feel it's all right having that mentality, you know, but, you know, if we're really serious about things as black people, if we were to try and war against the white man, we would we don't have the weaponry and, you know, the arsenal that they have. So that would be crazy. You'd have to have better weapons. No matter what you're saying about guerrilla warfare, you have to have the weapons because we're not trained for those hard terrains. And America ain't built up like it's a concrete jungle. So it's harder to move like the Vietnamese and other nations that defeated the countries that had great power with weaponry and stuff like that. Because it's been done before in history in the past, it's been done, but, you know, we can't.
Hey, Supreme, let me ask you a question, man. Supreme, at least the people you named, at least they did something, man. We need more people to step up. Instead of complaining, step up and do something in England, man. Go slap the Queen or something, man. Go slap Prince Charles, man. Do something, bro.
But they ain't going to do it, but they ain't going to do it.
You're scared. You're scared like everybody else.
Even the moment you go and do something like that, my brother, the moment you go and
do something,
something
man,
like that,
complain, man. Do something,
put,
bro.
Yeah, but you're gonna make the devil put instant lockdown.
The devil can go to hell, man.
The devil put instant lethal lockdown on the people. Every time a black
well,
person
I wanted to say something.
In the street, they're going to want to stop.
Everybody got more balls than you, man.
Yeah,
well, I'm going to say something.
Everybody got more testosterone.
Okay, go ahead, Ebony. Go ahead, Ebony.
I was going to say on what Supreme's saying, I think he talks about weapons, and I think the biggest weapon that you missed is the weapon of unity, and something
well, that's
that
what I'm trying to say. To
that's the weapon that's missing.
Yeah, but
because
even
you
if
can have all
unity.
The you can oh. have all the infrastructure, you know, you can have all the weapons in the world, but if the people aren't together and if they're divided, and sometimes this is a problem with having lots of mini organizations who are working, you know. Have seen the world differently and what they want in terms of their world differently, and that inability to come together and to find a way, you know, not compromising with the enemy, but compromising amongst yourselves to find something that works so that everybody gets what they need in order for change to happen in the way that fits the bigger agenda rather than the smaller agenda. I think that's probably the problem that we have. We've had lots of leaders. We've had lots of examples, and I see people on Facebook talking a load of BS to me about, you know, what the revolution should have done and what the revolution should have done. Where the hell were you? And why aren't we standing up? If we have a voice and we see what can be righted, why are we afraid to stand up? And, you know, I there's a lot of jawing that goes on about, you know, revolution and what people should do. But when the time comes for standing up, most people aren't counted. They can't be counted. And, you know, and so I kind
well,
of
sister,
still respect Nelson Mandela.
But this
I
is the thing, sister. This is the thing, sister.
I kind of respect Nelson Mandela because, you know what, even if we say he sold out and he didn't do it the way it should have been done, the point is, I reckon he probably did the best he could have done with what he had. And then he stepped down and he gave it to someone else to take it on. And even those people who have taken it on since ain't done no better. And there's still stuff, there's still a hell of a way to go. So I just think...
But how do you know people are working for the devil, something
is always done by somebody. Right,
Martin Luther King did a little something.
Nelson Mandela did a little something. Martin Luther King did a little something. What are we going to do? What is our little something? Let's stop criticizing
people. Hold on. You keep saying Martin Luther King had a group of people. It wasn't by himself. It was the youth.
There
was a bunch of people throughout
the
whole country.
He got started up by that homosexual Jew.
One at a time, please.
You can't keep saying, I'm going to let the brother go back on because I know he was cut up. But you can't keep saying, do something. People are doing something. It's called covert war. Have you ever studied the art of warfare? You do not tell your hand everything that your other hand knows. So for you to say what is people doing, it's a lot of people doing some things, honey. I beg to differ. There's a whole lot of covert warfare going on in this country.
I'm not saying not. I'm not saying not. What I'm saying is I'm talking about amongst our people, right? Amongst our people, we lack that unity of purpose, right? And when we don't have a unity of purpose, what we're doing becomes very fragmented. So there's a little, you know, and when I say a little, little meaning that there are small groups that are working really hard, but there seem to be more groups than unified purpose. Do you get what I'm saying?
Well, sister,
we're not a monolith. We never have. Even on the continent of Africa, we want a monolith. Look at Europe. Look at right now. Look at the struggles that they're having over there. It's the human condition.
I don't think it's about protesting. I think teaching, especially the children, about protesting, all it does is promote a beggar's mind. You know, when we should
teaching
be doing
about
for self.
Who said anything about protesting?
If you want to fight against your sister was saying, well, you're not out there doing something. Well, this is the thing. The best thing that we can do is start up a business, and any business that we think we have an idea for, we're thinking of employing our own people in the future. That's our agenda. I want to build my business that I can employ my own people. Maybe you might die and only employ 20 people. You understand? But that's 20 people who survived on the wage that you was giving them. So you try to help them up. Maybe a couple of them with the money that you gave them, they started their own business. And now they're employing more black people. You understand? So, you know, right now I feel that the best thing for us to do is go out, do for self, and try and be entrepreneurs and make money. You understand? And bring our
people
in.
I think you're all talk, brother. I think you're all talk. Your name is Poverty Supreme. You embrace poverty. How many businesses have you started?
Well, it's just, brother, it's not, I came with a name, and I just said, let me just say this name. It's a name that's been with me from the past or anything. You understand?
That name defines.
But I like the name because I know.
But how many businesses have you started?
How many?
Yeah,
brother.
Exactly.
I used to be part of the UNIA out here in London, in Brixton. Part of the UNIA for 2 years, brother.
So
when you come in and telling me.
Just ask you a question. I'm not telling you anything. And you know something? You could lie to me right now and tell me that you have enterprises going, and I wouldn't question you. I would back down. But how many businesses have you started?
Sister, hold on. I've started my own business already. I've got my own business right now, and I'm starting my second one in February. Now, hold on, sister. Let me tell you something. I used to be on the street for 18 months. I was 22, not earning no money. And I was on the streets like the Hebrew Israelites, out there teaching that the white man was the devil, and teaching that we should we need to unite and stuff like that. Negroes weren't into that. Negroes didn't want to come and join that. When it came down to putting some money, the pot Negroes didn't want to go.
You know something? Only somebody in the land of milk and honey, when you need a roof over your head and clothes to wear.
For
food
bees.
To eat. You know, only I don't know the type of person that is mentally sound that's not going to have those things and is going to be in the street talking about a concept trying to win people over. I don't, that makes no sense to me. I wasn't raised like that. That makes no sense to me.
Yeah, that's true.
Hey, sister, you see the Kevin Livingston Ray? What's his name? Livingston Ray? We used to be get walls and stuff like that. Now, when the case came out that he was having allegations of stealing money and stuff like that, stopped getting the walls. We used to get it through Lee Jasper. We was getting walls in South London and putting up meetings and stuff like that. We had about 50 to 100 people. But when it came back, all we said to the people was, putting £5 every 2 weeks, and by the end of the year, because we worked it out, by the end of the year we could start up 2 businesses. I said by giving 10-20 year plans, we'll be able to employ each other. From us keeping on doing that,
but
we'll
that's
be working.
No power.
But none of the people wanted to come together and put their money together.
That's still not power.
Same thing like when Elijah Muhammad was around at the time, all he asked was from the black people in America to give him a call. And the black people couldn't do that.
Yeah, but he was about action. He didn't just sit there and just talk. He was about action.
That want to work.
you know what? And with all due respect to Elijah Muhammad, they were about action, but they seemed to empower themselves and the people that were close to them. Because
and you know what they said?
Of all the million dollars that have, all the millions of dollars that have gone through their hands, okay?
Hold on now. Hold on.
Still
hold,
never
hold
bought
on.
Land. They still a, never bought large swaths of land.
No,
that's what
we're
trying to do now with the economic blueprint plan, man. If everybody put $18 in a year,
I gotta get them money so they can do some. Give me a break.
No, one person at black people, one person at a time.
I'm going to bring some briefness to this. Beasley, you're so right. I'm going to tell you why I said that. Just give me 1 minute to make. I'm going to just make everything. The Nation of Islam in the 60s was getting money from a white billionaire named, he owns Lamar, the Hunt Brothers.
Can the man finish talking? Listen, he donated.
He was giving Elijah Muhammad $100,000 a year.
I want you to do your research. Because we're giving all these kudos to black groups that we don't do the research on.
What's the website,
exactly,
man, where you got that from,
like,
man?
You need to do your research as well.
Yeah. What's the website that you got that from, Hoss?
Exactly. It's all this stuff from the internet.
His name is Lamar
Hunt. You can't listen to everything on the internet.
Yeah.
His name is Lamar Hunt. He owns the Kansas City Chiefs.
Lamar Hunt owns the Kansas City Chiefs, man.
A year. He gave $100,000 a year to Elijah Muhammad. That's a fact. Now, y'all can take it or leave it alone. $100,000.
It's not a
fact. Look it up and prove me wrong. Look it up and prove me wrong.
I don't have to look it up. I know the people that were there over 60 years ago. I don't have to look up anything on the internet.
All right. I'm wrong. You're right.
No, you're not.
You need to talk to real people. Quit looking. That's the thing. All these conspiracy theories. I mean, come on.
Not a conspiracy theory that the Nation of Islam took money from white people. They took money from white people.
Because white people believed in what they were talking about.
You can form yourself your own separate black nation and get away from us.
Let me rebut this.
It was started by white people.
Let me rebut this.
What does that have to do with right here and right now?
What it has to do with... the mindset that Supreme was talking about.
Let me clean this up about H.O. Hunt. And what you got to understand, it was Tahuti.
H.O. Hunt is Lamar Hunt's father.
It was Tahuti.
Correct.
It was Tahuti, natural Tahuti, in New York who started this rumor. Now, what you got to understand now, H.O. Hunt had money in, he gave $100,000 a year to lots of different organizations, because he was a troublemaker and a gambler. He gave $100,000 a year to the Nation of Islam.
He
was given $100,000, hold on, he was given $100,000 to the Ku Klux Klan. He was given $100,000 to the feminist movement.
Right.
He had money in sports. You understand?
Why would you do that?
This man was just a troublemaker.
Hold on.
That's
you're not getting it.
Let me clean this up now. Now, Elijah Muhammad, when he got his first temple, that was financed by Africa. African country. He borrowed money off an African country to finance his first temple. He even said in his books, in Message to the Black People, that what enough a lot of white
Message
people,
to the Black Man.
Yeah, Message to the Black Man, and in other books as well. He said it many times, and it was no secret that white people always wanted to join his organization. He had to tell them, he said that there were so many white people asking to join the movement, right, that he wouldn't have no place, he would have no place for black people.
He even said,
Mars. He was the first person to say that there was life on Mars. NASA came out to see him and speak to him, and he was talking about this flying saucer Ezekiel's will. Even Nasser came again and spoke to him. And he got
invited. All right, let me bring this to 2013, man. Hold up, y'all. It's 2013 now, right? It's Mohammed's economic blueprint.
So you guys don't talk over each other.
Well, I got to say this, man, okay? It's a new plan now. It's a new plan now for Mohammed's economic blueprint, where we put in $18 a year so we can buy up our own damn farmland and create our own jobs for our own people. Now, how many of y'all waiting to put in
$30? They've been running
that
con game.
I
would
never be willing to put in $40 damn dollars to our own people. But all y'all do is complain, man.
These people controlling the money. What about Ali Ali?
The money going to a bank when they buy the land, bro.
Hello?
Okay, go ahead. Go ahead.
The one thing we need to learn, it's not all about money. Kanye West has over $80 million, and he still can't meet with Louis Vuitton. It's about power.
Kanye West can't do what?
He can't meet with Louis Vuitton. They won't even pick up the phone to talk to him, and he's worth over $80 million.
They don't have to if they don't want to.
Exactly. That's my point. We keep talking all this money, but you don't control anything.
Yeah, well, I tell you what, and I'm not just singling out the Nation of Islam. They've done some good works. So some of the message is good. You know, empowering yourself, living a clean life. You know, I have friends that have been Nation of Islam members, close friends, dear friends, that are cool people. But anytime any religious group, okay, is asking for your money and talking about they're going to do good for the whole of black people, it never seems to happen.
Ain't no religion there.
Not only the religious
game, no matter who's doing it. Okay? It doesn't matter if it's T.G. Jakes, Elijah Muhammad, or anybody else, or Yahweh Ben Yahweh.
He even said in the future,
the hustle,
so neat for the future.
And I've, my roots,
hold on.
Go ahead, my roots are from a world that knows a hustle. And I'm telling you what it is, because the majority of black people are black. It hasn't happened.
And this, I'm asking a question. See, everybody wants to say they know this about these people, but we just piggyback on something. Half of the people you name, Elijah Muhammad, Yahweh Ben Yahweh, Farrakhan, Noble Jew, all of them was in the same circles as progression grew up. It was always a con artist groups of blacks that knew mysticism, and the most of us was ignorant to superstition, so they came with this new message that most of us never heard before, mixed it with masonry, and they got the people to believe, and there's a lot of talking. But all
well,
along,
maybe we need some of that now, because we don't even have that.
Dr. Malik York, all got hustle in them.
They got none of them do anything.
Can they enlighten? Can they teach me things? Yes, but I'm not giving you a nickel.
That's right. Now, here's the key. What you're saying is so true, because I've tried to tell you this all the time, because I was in that type of same system.
You told me that. You hinted at that. In fact, I think I brought it up that my brother and all his friends went down to Miami and joined up, and I, you know, was intrigued by it, but I didn't. But I'm the only one that didn't join, so I don't join shit. What do I need that dude for? But in the same respect, I was enlightened to a lot of things by taking the time and reading and studying some of the stuff that they read. I was enlightened to an awful lot that I didn't know. So,
here. It's like a 50-50.
Yeah, so just because I'm enlightened to stuff doesn't mean I'm bowing down to you and paying allegiance. Just because you teach me about a whole different world that I didn't know about, or you – basically what you did is you opened up the can. You let me down the rabbit hole, so to speak, and I get to study and understand mysticism and esoteric stuff and different meanings. People use that to their advantage. They use it to their advantage, and somehow they make themselves a deity. They make themselves over you and give me your money.
And whether it's fake or not, hell, it sure did work.
it works because people give them their money.
No, we're in a worse position than we are now. I know we keep saying,
well, you know, you're responsible
for
yourself. Can't help any masses or group of people.
No. I'm not talking about masses. What I'm talking about, how poverty is supreme. People going around telling people, oh, the white man, this and that. You can do that all you want to. He still runs your gas, your electric, your water,
He's going
your
to
food,
run it. Wait, hold on, lady. Hold on. He's going to run it because he's destined to run it. All this is destined to happen right now.
I don't know that he's destined. I don't know that Whiteschaff institutional controls of banks, education, and businesses.
Okay,
well, they don't
like I'm saying, the devil all the time, but that is
the essential part of the teaching. That's what our people need to know.
Like I'm saying.
It's not even me with the train. Who else is my train?
Wow.
Here it is, dude, though. Like I'm saying, if I can finish the thought. The things that's going on right now, they're going to happen. Whether you want them to, whether you think it's supposed to happen or not, it's going to happen. I don't know. I don't know what book you read or whatever the case. Everything that's going on right now is written in the Bible. Everything.
Yep, sure is.
If it is,
every single thing.
I have a question.
My feet keeps flying.
Can I ask a question?
Please,
Maze, welcome. Yeah, ask your question.
Hi, Maze. Hello. Everybody's always talking about what is written in the Bible.
You cheating on your husband. You cheating on your husband.
Jesus.
With Obama.
As what I was saying, is a whole lot of people, they always think about the Bible and wasn't it written in the Bible, which it is in Genesis 16:16. Generation number 4 is going to come to fruition and everything's going to change. So I don't know why everybody's arguing and having fits and all of this stuff about something that man cannot do anything about.
They don't read it. That's
but
why.
But they live off of fear. And not hope. When you're
right.
Living off of fear, you're going to believe something. Anybody got to tell you. But that's why I'm asking, why does Christians live off of fear and they don't live off of hope?
Because that's all they are. Christians, the Bible, that's all they are.
And that's the word I want somebody to give me an answer.
I just gave you the answer because that's all they are. The word Christian was actually a byword from the beginning.
Because everything that man has on this earth can be destroyed.
It will
like
be.
It was put here. And if people believe that, they wouldn't have to look at other people to see where they going to get they tap in from.
Listen. These people have their kingdom right now. They can go wherever they want to. They can do whatever they want to whomever they feel, and nobody can do anything about it.
I agree with you that.
You said that. What is the revolution for? What is you talking about?
Wait a minute, Michael.
I don't want to hear anything. You got to buy.
Well,
y'all can have this. Buy. Bye.
Calm down.
Exactly. He's the problem of the world. See, when you make that statement, how can you ever talk? When you make statements like that, we don't have no power. Black people do have power. We have spending power. That's how we boycotted the buses. That's when someone makes say that we don't have no power, we have spending power. How did the boycott get started? Stopping spending money on those buses? It was losing money. So we do have power. If you say you don't have no power, you never can change nothing. So you have to stop saying that statement.
No, but you have
to
make change in what you want to see. But if you want to follow Indians and chiefs, you'll never get nowhere.
Yeah, but you said about this Bible. I just seen 12-year slave thing, and it falls in place with what you just said. If you could not read and write, and they told you could not read and write, you'd be killed, murdered, slit, but... And all of a sudden, the first book they give you is this Bible. And you always saying they trickery anyway. So why should we believe that this Bible
And they
Bible
could not read and write
they...
in the beginning. That's why the words were written on and written like sticks on the wall. That's what
No, I'm talking about when white people gave, they gave us Sunday Bible classes on their terms. You give 100 years of that type of Bible class, and you will be brainwashed. If you give 100 years of saying you servitude, you will be brainwashed.
If somebody give you 100 years of something, does that mean you're supposed to stick with it? Is it like people told you that was Santa Claus? Old people that was a Santa Claus when they were growing up? And they realized when they don't believe in Santa Claus.
Every time we have a movement, we got to have a religious figure.
That's the problem is the movement.
No, even church is a movement. All you do is collect money and do nothing.
Everything is a movement.
All you do is say church, just like you said. Now, everything is being, when we do something positive, we got to have a preacher in front. What the brother said about the money, that's the most powerful tool we got outside of a weapon. And guess what?
But we don't use it.
Go through,
We don't have everybody to have Jesse Jackson, Al Sharpton, and all
you
those
are, come
people.
On, man,
some people do things without.
Man, let's quit
that's
playing
people
that
games. It's just the haters that use that stuff.
Now.
I don't have nothing
you
against Jesse or Al. They're doing their own thing. And when people finally start doing their own thing, they can stop complaining about somebody else's thing that they're doing.
Don't you go to
but
show.
You
that's
know
what?
Jesse Jackson and Al Sharpton are perfect examples. Okay.
Don't you go to church?
From where they started, and all of it. No one elected them to lead us to do anything.
Thank you.
They were
thank
voices
you.
That spoke out, and they learned how to profit off of it. And they profit off of it. Al Sharpton's latest thing that he did, and he does speak out, and he is a voice that fights a good fight, and he's also a carpetbagging profiteer.
What I'm saying is there's a whole lot of them out there. And they always scream at Al, and they always scream at Al.
Well, these are the
and
two.
They always scream at Al Sharpton and Jesse
Jackson. These are two that have been.
You think
so
about
busy.
All the other people that's out there doing their own thing. Why you got to get mad with them?
No. These are two.
Well,
because
they sell us out. Because they sell us out. Let me tell you. Let me just illustrate something real quick. There was recently a judge, I believe, in Pennsylvania or somewhere that just got 28 years because it was proven that he was giving black teens, he was sentencing them to. He was being funded by the private prison industry. He was getting kickbacks. He was getting money from them. And it was proven that he was sentencing blacks to far greater terms. He was giving them the max all the time, and he was doing it for years. He recently received 28 years in prison. Okay, that was just in the news. But what do you have Al Sharpton and Russell Simmons doing? They're commenting and acting like this knockout thing where there's been some attacks, which isn't right, where there's been some attacks on Hasidic Jews, on Orthodox Jews in New York City, and how that's a trouble and how that should stop. Now, who is pushing their buttons? Who is telling them what to do? Who are they serving?
They're working for the devil.
And the knockout thing is just a problem with the media. It's the media that don't focus on what you do every day.
Well, Al
Sharpton,
yeah, so
but you have Al Sharpton and Russell Simmons, okay? They're addressing this and making videos to condemn this. Well, where are they condemning this judge and that whole practice?
Well, Mr. Beasley, let me ask you a question. Are you aware that in the states, in the contracts that they have with the private prisons, the states agree to 70% occupancy, and if they are not occupied beds in the prison, the state has to make up the difference?
You're right.
There's a motivation for the judge.
Well,
who are
the only
private
prisons? Who owns the private prisons anyway?
Doesn't surprise me at all.
90%.
Who owns the private prisons? Anybody know?
75%.
That they agree to.
It's as wicked gets.
Well, in order for this to happen, you got to have some black complicity. This nothing happens without some of our people being.
That's right. All of them that participate was not. All of them that's going tonight are guilty or something. They're innocent,
well,
and they were put there by the court. Some of them are innocent. Everybody
well,
go to prison are not guilty.
That's true.
I'm not saying guilty.
I mean, tell
I'm
us
saying that Washington, D.C.,
know.
Which I was saying earlier, let's go talk to the public. Everybody in Washington is making millions based off the fact they are shareholders into this so-called system of imprisonment. Now, we see this, but because we're still on the illusion of everybody is so good, we'll let a politician who we know is in this, and we won't even condemn them because we're too busy trying to say let's not go and say anything bad against our black people because
no, you too busy because
now,
some of them are friends with them and they let them get away with the stuff and their politicians
time.
Doing things.
We
like
have to tell
them
the truth
and
our
all of that group
first,
of people.
Because
we always scream at hell and jest at them. Jest at them
don't
make
it. Our people first. If you don't
they just try to help
on
change
our people them. First, I'm going to let you speak a minute. If you tell the truth on what our people have done to each other, because we know the white man, but our biggest enemy is looking right at us. He looks like us.
Yes, right. Because for every one of them, you got 10 of us right along with them, helping
that's
to make sure.
That's my point.
That
we are our biggest enemy.
But
not
then
we're
gonna see
man,
him
we know
and look at Jalen. The one you're not looking at is the one you need to focus on.
And that's my point. I agree because
you're
that's
focusing
what I'm
on the wrong
we
people.
Are worse enemies.
The ones that we think that's with us are the wrong one. Because you have a meeting today. Because I proved this one time in a meeting to show them that this person that was sitting here was gonna go tell the mayor time the meeting was over. Everything that happened, we gave him the wrong day and he wasn't there. We had another meeting. And he was upset. I just did it to show the people what he was, a snitch, and they just trusted him and thought he was the greatest thing since corn.
Yes, like, that's why I like you, Maze. I see how smart you are.
That's why I say, if my friends were politicians, I wouldn't vote for him.
You vote for Obama, or if he run again with
you? Yes, right. I'll vote for him again if he ran, because I got
the
right.
Who's
that right?
Oh, wow.
What's wrong with that?
But you know what? And she tells you why. You know what? I don't agree with her at all.
That's right. You don't agree with her, but do you
she
care?
Tells you
I just
why.
Tell you why.
She says, and correct me if I'm wrong, Miss Mays, you said you enjoy seeing this man of color in power and it driving all them other folks crazy.
Yes, I do.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
And you take some pride. But it's unfortunate, Mays, that you don't look at his character and his works and his misdeeds and his talking it one way and walking
everybody
it another.
I just think
that it's unfortunate that you would excuse that because he has brown skin. That's all.
No, I don't do it because he has brown skin. Everybody got characters and everybody got misdeeds, and nobody's perfect.
I heard Miss Mays on a whole bunch of shows all over America talking about how much she loved Mr. Obama. Michelle, I'm going to get you from that cover to her
man. Did I say I love the president? Did I say I love everybody?
Yeah, I heard
not
you
only
all
the president, I love everybody.
WCP and all
Cincinnati
every Sunday. Every Sunday.
Those that hate him, good for him. And those that like him, good for them. That's all I have
that's
to say.
That's right. Just made
and I'm not
hey,
trying to change nobody's
choice.
Mind to think like I do.
That's right. I agree.
Your husband yeah. knows you cheating on him with Obama.
I don't have to cheat on my husband. I only got one man that I really have a focus on, and that's him. I don't have time for no other.
Well, right.
When it comes to looking.
Now, Miss Mays, who are you going to vote for after he's finished?
Nobody.
Hillary?
No, I'm not voting for Hillary.
Okay, I was wondering.
No,
wow. Well, hold on. Let
Hispanic
me bring somebody
up,
else in. Hold
if
on.
A Hispanic
hold
comes,
on, Mays.
If a Hispanic person run, I might vote for them so they can give them hell, too.
Oh,
hey,
Miss
May, what do you think of Cory Booker? What do you think of Cory Booker, Miss Mays?
What?
I like that. Cory Booker, what you think about him?
What do you mean?
Corey
what
Booker.
Am I supposed to think about him? Cory Booker.
I mean, you think he's a good politician or what?
He's
yeah,
the people
he's,
that put him
but
in.
You said the word, a good politician.
Right.
Yeah.
He's serving the people that
yeah.
put him in.
Hold on, let me bring Mr. Molly.
Cory Booker's a light skinned Obama.
Okay, pretty much.
You're right, Beasley.
Mr. Molly.
What about light skin?
Okay, hold on.
Yeah.
Wait a minute.
See, people, when it comes to people's characters, we talk about everything except what really needs
Mays.
To be done.
Okay,
yes.
Hold on. All right. Go ahead, Mr. Knowledge. Welcome to the show.
Hey.
Greetings.
Thanks for having me. Greetings to everybody that's on. I came in kind of late, so I'm a little bit behind. I was trying to catch up on it. But I heard a lot of talk about Jesse Jackson and Al Sharpton, or I guess it was just who – the black leaders who have propped it up for us are.
Right, exactly.
Basically, my point of view is that these cats are, they're opportunists. That's
right.
What they are. And they understand the system that they're working in a lot better than we do. Now, being that our pulse is close to the ground, we have a tendency to be more true to one another. But when you start working your way through these systems, there are certain compromises that you're going to be faced with
right.
in terms of whether you want to go on or not. And it just depends on how far you want to go. Now, when you talk about Jesse and Al, man, they got the pimp game going. They don't care about the backlash. They don't care about the negative publicity. They don't care about any of that. Just remember back when Jesse Jackson ran for president. That was to increase his popularity. That had nothing to do with him being a viable candidate for the presidency of the United States.
But
was
he was actually a viable candidate.
And that's your opinion.
It was purely a sideshow.
And that's your
and
opinion.
That was just to submit, yes. And that
okay.
that was just to cement his popularity amongst the black people. And that's what it did. It did that very thing.
He did
and
a lot.
So
he did, you know, what I see with both of them to different degrees is they may have started off well-meaning with the passion. And then after seeing how difficult this task that they had was, they decided to start profiting from it.
They sold out. plain and simple.
A lot of us sold out, too, and they're not yes and
that's
now.
Selling
they
out.
Out
that's selling
they
out. If,
can't even
if,
get along
if you,
with
you know, if, so, you're doing, yeah. if you're doing something that you love, Brown Beasley, and I've been fortunate enough to have this experience, to do something that I was really passionate about,
mm-hmm.
nothing mattered to me when I was doing it. Nothing. The consequences, what I might, what might affect me physically years down the road when I wasn't doing it anymore, none of that even came into my mind because I was so consumed about what I'm doing. Now, when you can be that calculated, just as you described, to where it's like, damn, people getting shot, they killing folks, I don't know. And then they prop you up, and it's like, okay, oh, this is cool. I can go with this. I can go
and
with
I,
it. And you
I
decide
would go,
to do
I,
it.
I would go with it, too. So,
and if you
know.
Decide to do it, then, yeah, quite naturally, to,
you know,
to somebody who's true to the game,
when
you're
you a initiated in some, you have to be
you're
initiated when you think, when you have to, all-knowing. And I agree with you, what you just said. When you be in something of that caliber, they're going to induct you into something. They're not going to just let you linger in your own
no,
space.
No, of course. Of course. And you have to make a sacrifice.
Right. You're going
to
make some type of choice.
Into
that. That's right. And that's the same thing I say about Nelson Mandela. We started with Nelson Mandela, and I might have to leave, but this is the same concept that you can see happening to all the leaders worldwide. They get indoctrinated. They must go with it. If they were to tell the people, get them, and all war, and let's be honest, if y'all,
and
y'all
people
know
all
this,
gonna be gone.
All,
they're going to be standing there by itself.
No, but all war, but by my point, the reason why, because we've never been taught warfare, but one group did fight back, and that was the Vietnamese. And unfortunately, they had to drop some serious chemicals, and they still fought back. But
now, the North and the South fought each other, and they were brothers and cousins. What makes you think that you can do anything?
And I agree. I'm not. You are absolutely right. I'm just saying,
though,
but they did fight.
Right,
they did fight back, and
yes.
unfortunately, that's what
they fought back effectively.
Yeah, they fought back.
Let's talk about the ones that fought back, and they nearly wiped them off the face of the planet.
The Japanese.
And that was the Indians.
Oh.
They reduced them to reservations.
But hold on, with the help of who?
That's how much they killed off their population.
With the help of other Indians
Thank
and everybody
you.
Else.
It don't matter.
Say.
It don't matter.
No, he makes no, no, but I'm getting dry bone point. There's always going to be a traitor and a sellout to the stronger party.
Yeah,
but
I was
going to
be people that can look out for their self-interest and choose some comfort over the masses of their people.
Well,
the Indians
fight.
Fought back harder. They fought back harder,
and almost got wiped out
in the process.
You had black buffalo soldiers, black people was regimented, had guns. This is on the website. We show that the black Confederates, it was 8 million Union soldiers and about 3 million Confederate soldiers, highly equipped with weapons, and did not turn on their enemies, but later on got regimented and made a clearing for the West for the whites to follow. This is severe brainwashing, man.
Is a solution.
Well, we understand that, but if anybody had a strategy,
no, we don't
for any black people,
no, we don't understand.
No. If anybody has a strategy, and we were talking about the concepts of Martin Luther King, and those concepts, right? If anybody has a concept in this country as a black person to go up arms against all these Caucasians in the world, I'm letting you know. Such as the end, it's not going to work. It's too many of them. They have too
many
guns.
Can help with the
you want
to,
you know what? I,
so
you
have
know what,
to
Mike,
go
you know what, you know what?
Wise,
go read.
That is just
go
a
read.
Fact. See now,
you know what?
You know, hold up. Now, when you say that fact, you're saying that I'm saying they're better than us. No, I'm not. I'm not saying that. I'm saying just look at the facts. And see, at the end of the day, you're talking about compromise. And it's sad to say, why did King have to go back to Memphis the second time? Because they said some people who did not like the nonviolence movement started busting up, you know, the marches up, started bringing up business. So that's why he had to go down again. There's always been a divide, and we as black people have not even come for one concept or way to get forward. Some people want to go back to Africa. Some people want to stay in this country and be prosperous. See, it's a division.
So some of them have went back to Africa and being prosperous.
I've been hearing this since ever since I've been in this country on this earth. I've been hearing the same old concepts over and over again. Haven't gotten nowhere. Fuck on all of them. Same old shit. Haven't gotten no damn where. He got all this.
Well, that's because there's nothing new under the sun, Michael.
What is the solution to this anyway?
Who knows?
Is that one?
Yeah.
After all these years.
Just talking about it.
Well, you know what?
That's all we do, talk.
No, that ain't all we do is talk. It, you know,
no.
People are out here earning a living.
Well, yeah,
people
everybody's not unhappy.
Exactly.
Yes, that's true.
Wow.
Everybody
is earning all the money.
You know, you're right. You know, if you've learned how to
assimilate,
maneuver yourself, man. You know what? I don't know how much assimilation I do. I mean, because I don't kiss very much ass. I haven't worked for people. I work on my own. I do business with people, and I do business, you know. Sometimes I may hear some things from them that I don't like, but I have to get the business done. My point was this. If you've learned how to maneuver yourself in this world, okay, and keep some dignity and be able to sustain yourself and whoever else that you care for, you know, you don't have any reason to be unhappy.
Thank you. You're not breaking any laws.
But it's very hard to assimilate. It doesn't even work for Tiger Woods.
We can't make our
food. I mean, what
more can he do? I mean, he's college educated. I mean, what more can he do? And he still catches hell anyway. So if he can't
I don't know if Tiger will. He may have caught more hell because he's of black mixed ancestry. But this media and this society builds up heroes and tears them down all the time, all colors.
No, I'm not talking about that. So that's a cycle there.
What are you talking about?
No, I'm talking about as far as us trying to assimilate and things of that nature. Tiger Woods is biracial. He's going to go down in history as being one of the best golfers in the world. Not only that, college educated, college degree.
He
ain't just college educated. He went to Stanford.
I
didn't get a chance to hear her point. I want to hear her point. What's your point?
Yeah, that's what I was saying. He's done all that and did what he could to try to assimilate, and it still hasn't worked. He still catches hell as if he were you and me.
Catches hell like how? He's a multi-millionaire.
It's not always about money,
but I don't know what hell
Hello?
He catches. If
Hello,
anything,
Tiger
Woods.
No,
what,
you're missing the point.
Because
you're not making a point.
Obama,
people are making
him
having a problem. Let her go stick to Tiger Woods. Tiger Woods is a...
No, you're missing the point. Hold on. It's
make
just
the
like
point.
Obama. Obama's the president of the United States, and he still catches hell. It doesn't matter.
Catches hell like how? You have people...
Are you serious?
Hold on a second. Let me make my point, okay? You're a public figure, number one. You're going to get people throwing tomatoes at you. That comes with the territory. They both knew that. Okay.
No, people go over the top with both of them. We're not talking about...
Yeah, because people have some racial trips.
Come on, they go over the top.
But in the meantime, Obama lives in the White House in a mansion with servants, okay? And he will make millions and millions and millions of dollars on the speaking tour or whatever else he decides to do with the rest of his life. Tiger Woods has caught some hell. Tiger Woods made some poor decisions. Tiger Woods didn't try to assimilate. Tiger Woods was raised
in...
born and raised in Cypress, California, which is 95% white. Tiger Woods is a caramel-covered white boy. Okay?
What does Tiger Woods' color have to do with it? Tiger Woods...
Well, it has to do with her identifying him as a black person and as a black person that has lived the black experience.
And it's like...
Can I add something to this?
It doesn't matter where he's from.
Can I add,
please?
Okay.
I just wanted to ask something. I think I understand where she's coming from, because what we started about, I think it was when Mays was talking about happiness and, you know, whatever your situation, whether you're happy or not. And I think that what she's alluding to is that no matter what we do in American society, there's always a trap door. There's
exactly.
always a few trap doors.
You know what?
So
exactly.
it doesn't, the level that you're on is only relative to somebody else who's on that level. I think what she's trying to allude to is now we've created a system to where it doesn't matter how successful you are, what you do, how you personify yourself, you might still find your ass in a sling one day.
Exactly.
Yeah, you know what?
That's my point.
And it don't even matter how much money you got, how important you are, you're getting guns thrown at you. And I get what you're saying, Beasley, which is relative to a particular economic status, meaning that no matter what happens, you can either get your way out of it or you can buy your way out of it. However, that doesn't diminish the psychological, the emotional, the spiritual effects that
these people are strong.
Money
don't
buy
happiness,
but
it's a down payment. Obama and Tiger Woods are making
money. Money don't buy happiness, but it's a down payment.
My question is, did Tiger Woods' talent make him who he is, or did his color make him
his
who
talent,
he is?
His talent,
thank
his skill.
And so did Venus, Mike Tyson, and all of the rest. That made their talent made them who they
you
were.
You know what?
The media made people dislike what they were doing. Now let's look at it and get it straight.
No, they might.
And
you know what? You're going to catch
it. And
you're
going to
give in. You're going to catch hell because you're black, regardless. If you're a black public
thank
figure,
you.
They're going to
really
find
nice.
A way. They're going to find a way and make it look like it has nothing to do with race, but they're going to try to find ways to make you look like an idiot, unless
because
you
completely you're good
march
and you're
there
records.
Too. But
and
at the end,
so
at the end of the day, at the end of the day, you know, psychological damage or not, you know, if you were strong enough to maneuver through all that and be that good at your craft to get yourself that station and that position in life, and yes, a lot of things are about money, you know? It determines the type of lifestyle that you have. It makes me happy. I don't, you know, and lack of it makes me unhappy and makes me want it. So,
damn it on happiness.
Yeah, but
are you the new Teflon Don?
No, I'm not no Teflon Don, and I've been in situations where I've let things go when it was on a racial thing, and I've kept my mouth shut, and I thought that it was being cute for some reason, and I just didn't say anything, and that shit deeply bothered me months later. So now I don't tolerate any of that bullshit from white people when they say things. I correct them right away.
But this is why I was saying, you look at O.J. Simpson. Instance. I don't even want you to know he played football. That was his talent.
Oh, no.
And if you were born 10 years ago, you don't even know he played football. You just wondering if Jose Simple was a man that they say it killed somebody. Not his football
and
talent.
His money helped just a little bit, but he got caught in the end.
That's why the
end.
People get confused and don't see things.
Who can make you look stupid but yourself?
What do you say?
Well, some of it,
who can make
I
you
guess,
look stupid
some of
but
it.
Yourself?
Oh, yeah, but
sure.
I think some
sometimes.
Of it is about how the environment that you live in and the society treats you. Some of it is about your own issues. Some of it could be about your own ego and your inability
right.
to manage fame and situations that you find
Kanye
yourself
West.
In. Yeah,
who doesn't
so
have
Kanye
an ego?
West and other people who just can't handle it out there but want the money and want the adulation that everybody wants. So I think sometimes you gotta be balanced about it. Some of it is not all about what's outside. Some of it's about internal stuff. And I think people need to recognize what things they do have control over and things that they don't have control over. But don't let your ego get
right.
better of you. Because when
your
ego
does,
we're gonna fall.
We all have an ego because we all have things that we may want in our lives. We all have an ego, but you
you can't cross the line where it's all about me, 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 me all the time. That controlling state.
I got a question for May. You brought up O.J. Simpson. How the hell do you get caught in a double homicide where one of the victims was damn near decapitated and it's your ex-wife?
I haven't figured that one out, and I don't even want to.
How do you get caught up in a double homicide where one of the victims was almost decapitated?
Because he did it. That's why.
Yeah. I wasn't there. I don't know if he did it or not.
And you know something? I followed the O.J. thing. I remember when he beat his wife, when he beat her up. And I'm not, you know, and I made a little rhyme about this, but I remember when he beat his wife up a couple of about 4 or 5 years before that, and the police came, and it was on New Year's Eve, and he went to the Rose Bowl that
day. That his first wife or his second wife?
Yeah, his second wife. He beat Marguerite, too.
He said doing something in the background.
He beat his wife, too. But as soon as I saw that hit the news, and when as soon as it says that that she was dead and this and that and the other, I said, dang, O.J. killed his wife. Now, what people didn't realize right away, which I thought I realized right away, that not only did he kill his wife and had a good escape plan, but they also planted evidence and tried to frame him.
See, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, you make it a good point, but see, again, whether for Johnny Cochran coming up, good defense lawyer, but, you know, that's the same thing. What we're trying to do is dissect what's happening to us on the same scale. We got to put our own self on trial to see what has happened to us and then try to put something together concrete. Whatever's been wrong, let's try to not go that route no more. If civil rights was wrong, then we shouldn't be promoting it. If apartheid was wrong and Nelson Mandela is wrong, then we have to come up with a new strategy. And what's happened is, what the brother said earlier, he's been hearing that all his life, the same strategies over and over and over. That's because we're not sitting down like white people do, like a think tank, like a chess game.
They ain't together either. That's what we get it wrong.
Right. We're doing it right.
They're
we're doing it. We're doing it. We're doing it right now. Except
no,
the
that's
NSA
what I'm saying. That's the point. Getting right back. That's what I'm looking at this show and the show that I hear y'all on. We actually are the new chess players. We got to come up with new strategy because this is the first time that we all can get together on the phone like this.
Well, I'm not doing anything to break. I'm not doing anything to make these break these American laws to be going to jail like with.
Listen, these Caucasians, they make laws to protect themselves from each other. Because if it was no black people here, I guarantee you these white folks would be killing each other. So
yes, they
make the
be.
Laws to protect. Hold on, listen now, I know that. But since we're in it, we have to, me personally, if you're going to start any organization, it's going to have to be some laws and some type of civilization. So I'm just saying, challenge their concepts. Meet them at the table, challenge their laws, because some things, they can, I know for a fact, Mike knows for a fact, and I can speak in first and third person, I, Michael, know for a fact that those people write stuff, dry bones, and they can't live by it. So we challenge them on it. They're not going to be fair. So that's what you do. But if someone says violence, I'm not going to go that route. Because I can go in the hood and I can be violent in another way. I'm not going to do that. I want to have the meeting of the minds. I want to point you out and say, listen, bro, I'm pointing you your unfairness. I'm checking you. I'm using what you wrote down. And I want to partake in what you write down in for the future because my ancestors had a claim to this, and I have every right to this land. How dare you tell me? Now, if you want me to do it, I can own any land you want. But there's things to be staked here. How dare we give up all that cotton that they picked, and we're going to walk away from this? We have a right to all this shit, bro. That's a fact. I mean, with all that cotton picking, all that many hours of going to waste, no. You challenge their minds. They're not smarter than us. And then, like I said, they're going to protect themselves from them, from each other. So you already know they're going to have to be fair. But what it is, when it comes up, they want to be biased with it. That's why I don't like bias.
See, when they write something down in the law, that's not a theory. That is not a conspiracy theory. We can challenge what they wrote in black and white, time and date. It's a fact. And we can challenge on how we're going to live each other. That's all I wanted to say, guys. That's all.
Nobody gives up power without a fight. What's unique, no one gives up power without a fight or bloodshed throughout history. If you've got some real, real power, people go to war. And white folks go to war with white folks, and Chinese go to war with Chinese when it comes down to gold and silver. So that's the reality. I guess that's what's unique about South Africa and what happened with Mandela is that they did find a way to compromise and make some steps forward without there being, you know, large amounts of bloodshed.
And I hear people talk about Mandela and Millie. That wasn't his first wife. She was his second wife.
No, still his wife.
But nobody
still
didn't
his
get
woman.
Upset when he left the first wife, but they got upset because of the second wife.
Well,
you got upset because of who? Winnie was the second wife?
Yeah, he was.
Yeah, he had a wife and children before, and you know, I mean, I don't.
Well,
you know, I've known people that have had marriages, and I put that in quotes. Where one person's incarcerated and the other person is, it's a different type of situation. But you know what Drybone said made sense. You know that she still held on to a radical revolutionary mindset, and you know he was an older man and he had compromised.
Hmm. Aunt Denise, his first wife wasn't politicized. Winnie was politicized.
Yeah, she was politicized.
Right.
But, you know, can
was the third one was the third one politicized?
Yeah, she was. Her ex-husband was a president of another African state that they got divorced, and he ended up with her.
Okay.
Start with an M. I can't think of the last name, but start with an M. But still, all together, we still saying the same thing. Most of us saying the same thing. Obviously, education of the people got to be almost to the forefront because many of us got so many different ideologies. And if we could just take our egos down, I think a lot of times, if we put the religious and some of that ideology that we learn and say, what do we not know, and find out what, and say, what can we find out, you'd be surprised how much more effective a lot of black people can learn from.
I think what would work if you got rid of some of the envy that people have over something somebody else is doing, that would help a whole lot. More
so
than
the ego. Because in case we want the ego to the ego got to be killed, man. I learn from all y'all. I listen to y'all, and I go research, and I learn more.
That's
all. Yeah.
So, but
I still say a calamity. Now, if they create an economic calamity, you're going to see more unity than you ever could imagine, but it's going to be from a calamity. That's unfortunate. I think a calamity is going to be the one that does it.
Well, that's not a matter of if, that's a matter of when.
Yeah, I think that's going to be the telltale sign.
And you know, and I don't like
prophesizing.
Okay, somebody's having too much fun.
Somebody's having a conversation.
Hold on, let's listen. Let's see what's wrong. Let's have a little fun.
You need to block somebody.
He said, let's listen to this album.
Let's eavesdrop.
Wow.
Let's eavesdrop.
Y'all funny. Oh, he got another radio show going on. That's what they're doing.
Yeah.
That's Brother Wesley.
Yeah, that's Wesley.
They got another show
having their
on.
Own business.
Wow. All righty then.
That's not right.
I know I've got some addictive person. I know I've got some addictive tendencies towards BTR, but he's taking shots in both arms. He's doing two shows at
wow.
once.
I guess he is. He's doing something. But anyway.
Oh, that's funny.
Lord, anyway, y'all. It's 4:30. 4:30 my time. Central Standard Time. Whatever. Anyway, I got to go. I know it's around 2:30 your time, Mr.
There you go.
Yeah, or 1430 for those military-minded individuals. But anyway, we got to get up out here, man. We really do. So, you know what? I've said I wasn't going to do it, but I'm going to go ahead and do it. I'm going to let everybody get their last words in real quickly, and so we can go on and get on out of here and start working on tomorrow's show. And we're going to start with the last man in, first man out, Mr. Knowledge. Your last words, sir.
Great show as always. Glad to hear you back on the mic, my good man. And I'm out.
All righty. Thank you, sir. And I was glad to be back. Good to be back. All right. Mr. Michael, you on.
Well, I just want to say, no. This ain't Michael. This is
Beasley. Yeah, okay. Go ahead, Beasley.
Enjoy the show. It's, if I'm going to waste some time, I may as well waste it here. I enjoy
what
this.
Kind
I
of,
get some,
what kind
well,
of
let me tell you why. No, I'll tell you why. I'm self-employed. I work at home. I could be using these hours to be doing work, and I take the time out to do this more times than what I should. That's all I'm saying.
Okay.
Don't take it as a slight. I like you, and I like your show. And
I
can't say that about most of these, some of these other shows that I've gone into. You're a cool dude in my book. I missed you when you were gone. I was wondering. I was hoping that you were okay.
Thank you, sir. Oh, okay. Well, I'm back now, so we're good.
We're good.
Let's see if Mr. Wesley has finished conducting whatever he's doing. Wesley, you there?
Oh, he's otherwise engaged.
Yeah. Let's see. How about Miss Ebony? Are you here, Miss Ebony?
Yes, I am.
Okay.
I just want to say great show, Mr. Talk. And, of course, I love having you back. It's just great to have you back. And it's a better world for having you in it. But, yeah, also to say that I think one of the ways that we can improve ourselves is to talk more, to have more conversations. And I think the more we understand ourselves and we communicate, you know, some of our fears, some of the ways that we see the world as well, you know, that gives us a greater opportunity to make changes in the future. And I think we need more forums where we can talk, but also listen to each other. Yeah, those are my thoughts.
All righty. Well, thank you, ma'am. And you want to give a quick shout-out for your show?
Yeah, I've got a show tomorrow on celibacy. Yeah. we're going to talk about celibacy. And I know people have a little thing about celibacy, but my thing is, do you have the physical or mental strength to be celibate whilst dating? So a lot of people feel there's a lot of peer pressure, you know, to get your rocks off, as it were, when you're in the dating mode. But could you go through dating, you know, without giving it up? And that's what we're talking about tomorrow night.
Mm. All right. All right. That sounds like a lot of fun. I might have to be a part of that one myself, but okay.
Okay.
All righty. Thank you, gorgeous. Have a good one.
No problem.
All right, Miss Lisa, are you there?
Yeah, great show as always, and I love just running my mouth. And I'm so glad to have you back.
All right, well, thank you. Oh, and I look forward to hearing from you tomorrow, okay?
All right.
Okay, and here we go, Miss Mays. Last words.
Yes, I think we got rid of a lot of envy and jealousy. You could have a great day and a great life. And it's good to have you back.
All right. Well, thank you. And you have a good point there. All right. It looked like my co-host got dropped off here, so it's up to me to shut it down. All right. You know what, though? I've listened to a lot of the conversation. Well, I listened to the whole conversation, and I'm sure I missed something, but I'll have to go back and listen again. But, you know, there was some points made that's really stood out, you know, and the biggest ones was, and just from doing this show, you know, it stood out once again. You know, some of us have the predetermined idea of what we believe to be true. what we believe to is needed, and we're not fluid enough to understand that our way may not be the right way. However, before you can realize that, you know, you have to be able to listen to someone else. So this idea. Now, you may not agree with it. That's fine. But just listen. But if someone's trying to say something and you're cutting them off at every other word, then you aren't listening. You aren't trying to hear the other side of the coin. You know, there's usually, you know, three sides of a story, I always say. You know, the two individual side and then the truth. Now, in the situation we're talking about right now, let's be honest. As Sister Ngoni said on the show, there's nothing new under the sun. You know, there's nothing new. You know, for those that believe in a good word, you know, Jesus went around doing great things. But in the end, because of political affiliations and what have you, he was killed. As I said, you know, some believe in that, some don't. But the principle is still there. You know, so whether Mandela was a great person or, you know, he had his dark side, which all of us have a dark side. That's nothing new. But sometimes you have to really take a look and ask yourself, have you really benefited from any of what he did? Have you benefited from anything of what the civil rights marches were about? Have you? Or are you just content in deciding that where you are now, you've done it yourself, and you have all the answers to correct what's going on now? Interesting questions to ask yourself. And if you be honest with yourself, which a lot of us fail to do, because we, and you know, speaking of that, here's the thing. You know, a lot of us, you know, we say we're honest with ourselves, but in reality, if we were really, truly honest with ourselves, about ourselves, we wouldn't like what we see. We wouldn't. But, hey, that's what it is. That's what it is. And I'm just going to leave it at that. But, once again, I want to say it's glad to be back. And I do appreciate everybody for showing up. I missed y'all just as much as you missed me. So, hopefully, we won't have to go through any of this anymore. We good now. We settled in. We got everything set up. So we rocking and rolling from here on out. All right. Don't forget tomorrow's show, 2 p.m. Central, 3 Eastern, 12 Pacific, 1 Mountain Time. Topic to be determined once I talk to my co-host. But it's going to be a good one. That's for sure. That's for sure. Let's see. That's about it, y'all. That's about it. Y'all have a good one. Enjoyed having you. And I see all of you tomorrow. So, until tomorrow, man, y'all have a good one. I am now gone.
I go on and on. Can't understand how I last so long. I must have superpowers. Rap 225,000 hours. Get a calculator, do the math. I made 1,000 songs that made you move ya. And for the last 300 months, I made 16 albums with me on the front. And they bump. Where you get your beats? I heard 90.